Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
Howdy.
Hello.
I'm dropping frames like a motherfucker tonight.
That sucks.
Yeah. I don't know what to do. Keeps going into red. Is anyone watching? I stopped the stream so that I would cut down on whatever bandwidth I could. Is it like getting shitty?
Okay.
Give me a second. Loading it up now.
Probably.
Okay. How's it sound now?
Much better. There you go.
Yeah. The freaking Discord is trying to use my... So sometimes Discord will automatically switch the microphone back to the microphone built into my web camera.
Yep.
Which is far away. So yeah, that would make a far away sound because that is where it is. But now I'm using my fancy ass mic.
Yay.
Okay, yeah. No. The stream seems fine to me.
All right, that's good. It's in the red right now. So and again, it's just the static screen. Let me switch to... Oh, that's a low camera.
Yeah, like none of our conversation is like cutting out or anything for me. So
as long as the audio
sometimes,
is good,
yeah.
Sometimes
it's fine.
Like the stream will start bad for me, and then it'll just straighten up.
Yeah, this is like 11 minutes in, and I'm still getting red on OBS.
Rip.
Yeah, good shit. Hi, Tim.
Loofa loofa.
Oh my god! As soon as I close the door, Wilfred wants out of the room.
Why? Like that.
How's everyone doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh.
I'm okay. We are almost all here.
I'm
hey,
good.
Hey, Brooke.
Hey, Aki.
Hi, bro.
You gotta give it to her. She's consistent. Hi.
Of course I'm consistent. It's one of the very few good things about me.
Where's Jacob? Hi, Aki.
I can't wait for this horse tails review. I'm going to stay for that, no doubt.
You want me to put that before Fluffy Horde?
I mean, I don't care. I'll probably actually hang out for the whole thing tonight since I finally have time this week.
I guess I'm going to be on the whole time. You're lucky, you guys. Be happy.
Sorry, interrupt you, Chris.
Oh, that's okay. I was just saying also hi, Brooke.
Hi.
Yeah, I have a treat for everybody at the end of the show.
Oh, wow. So I picked a good one. We did not plan this in advance, everybody.
Unless Joe wants me to read it during the show, it's kind of long, so I don't know where it...
Is it a good pastor?
It's better than a good pastor.
Oh, no.
I may have actually read it for everybody before. I don't know. It's an excerpt from a review of an Atari game that's on Atari 50 from Dave Halverson. There's a review that was actually published in a magazine, and I really want to share it with everybody because it was shared with me many, many years ago. I want to say 17 years ago, by a friend who later became a medical doctor. But he did this dramatic reading of it for everybody, and that's not the best part of it. I will tell you the best part of it right before I read it.
I'm excited.
I could read it on the show. It's
You're not gonna read it on the show?
Well, I was gonna read it after the show.
Oh, cool.
As like a bonus for people so that it's not just part of the show.
Sweet.
I don't know.
I'm waiting for Purnell and Jacob.
Cool.
Shocker that we're waiting for Jacob.
Whoa,
right?
Purnell
also
is
high stem, right?
Yeah, Purnell is officially a minute late. There he is.
Holy shit.
He's here. Everybody be cool. Hey, Purnell.
Too late. We're all
you're late.
Quick, hide the cigarettes. Cool.
Dad's home and he is pissed.
He is. Run the belt!
Oh my god, he launched into that dad yell. Pretty quickly, Tim.
Good lord!
I want to hear your dad yell now.
No, absolutely not. It's 10 p.m. The child is asleep. Ooh, under no circumstance.
The secret is this is
if you were a little louder, that would have been a dad yell. Under no circumstances.
No. Honestly, the hushed, like, serious tone that's a little bit disappointed in me for asking, like, is way more effective. That's what would have worked on me as a kid.
That's my tone, because I don't shout at people. I don't like to be that person. But my sister actually has a thing with her throat. She cannot yell. She cannot yell at anybody. She can't raise the volume of her voice above, like, about where I'm at right now.
Yep.
Wow. Or no, what are you doing? Like, I'm the same so noisy way. Over there.
If she gets upset, the pitch goes up and, like, the speed goes up, but she can't actually scream at you. She'll just lose her voice if she does.
Yep.
Oh, Peggy!
It's hilarious.
Pernell's, like, 20 feet away from his phone now.
Yeah,
I am.
That's okay. I was accidentally talking into my webcam here earlier.
Oh, Discord. Nice.
Well, Jacob finally showed up.
Ooh, Jacob, what up?
Yo, my wife was the reason why I'm here. Mm-hmm. So you're all like, you're all welcome.
You I chose to marry her. That's why you're here.
What?
Who wants to insult them first? Brooke, get in line.
I will, because it's me.
All right, Aki, shut up. I want to hear what Brooke has to say.
I just said thanks, Jacob's wife.
That was obviously way more important than what anything Aki would have to say. So,
gratitude. Thank you.
Fair enough.
What is your wife's name?
Jess.
Cool. I might continue to call her Jacob's wife.
We'll just start calling you Jess's husband instead.
Yeah,
that's fair.
I like that.
Yeah. I mean, she's the prettier one of the two of us, so, yeah.
Nice. Okay, Jess's husband.
Turn off speakerphone, we're recording.
I almost didn't catch that, Pernell.
I have a visual of Pernell, like, in the tub. Does anyone else hear that?
It sounds like now I do.
Like, well, I am running the water. I am running the water, so...
This is the ideal way to do a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, this is just how it started.
Nice comfy bath.
I'm not even doing an intro. We're just all here. It's been like 4 minutes already. We're just talking.
Fried green eggs and spit.
We've got a full party tonight. I'm just going to go down the Discord list because it's easier that way. Aki's here. Joe is here. Chris is here. Brooke is here. Jacob's here. Pernell's here. Stemmage is here. And Tim is here. Hi, everyone.
Yo. I'm about to say, don't ask how everyone is doing unless you do it one at a time, because that's going to go poorly.
Welcome back, Steven.
One, two, three, go.
What up? What up?
Hey.
Complain.
That was what? A letdown.
I missed my cue.
Yeah, I didn't know what we were doing.
All saying how you were doing it once.
Oh.
But it didn't work well. Brand, how are you doing?
I'm good. It'd be better if I was in the tub, like Pernell. I love the idea of a tub pod. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Get the good tub condensed cares. Mic hanging over the tub, all dangerous like, and just splish splash a little. I wonder how Discord's noise cancellation would handle that.
Huh? I mean, on Twitch, you just inflate a pool in your living room and
wear a skimpy bikini.
$1 million. Exactly.
Yeah. And $1 million.
Ching ching, bling bling.
No one wants to see me.
Write this down. Ching, ching.
Though I will admit, one thing I found funny about this, I did read an article at one point where, like, it was mentioned that she had been interviewed about that, and apparently the pool did, in fact, result in some, like, a good expensive chunk of damage to her house that they had to pay and fix. But it's like, well...
I like that, Pernell, nobody had to name any names. We just instantly started talking about the one person, even though... pools, hot tubs, and beaches is like an entire category on Twitch, entirely full of exactly the same person.
Yeah.
Well, we know who originated that trend. That's the thing. At least I do.
I don't know that. I just know.
I wish it was me. Shit.
That's the person. I'd be a millionaire. I was going to say, I don't know, but I do know that, like, I think that's so funny that it's associated with. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
And I'm pretty sure she was the one who started it.
Yes, thank you.
I honestly don't know. But it's just, it's funny because it's like, you know, that is the one person, like, that you would think of when you think about Twitch, hot tub, beaches and pools, streams.
And I'm the second.
I mean, she was always on the front page, so.
Yeah.
I think she's still on the front page, isn't she?
She looks good in a bathing suit.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know that there was a whole thing.
There's been a few whole things.
I
feel bad for her. Poor thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Although, you know, new option, though, for donating enough bits. Have enough bits, Joe will toss a toaster into my bathtub.
Hey. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is one bit enough for that? I throw in a bit for that.
It's one bit.
I'm price shopping right now for those bits. Whole
paycheck just to toss in the toaster into mine.
Yep.
I mean, can't even give the man's toaster paying a value. Just like
I got a pretty healthy. I got a pretty healthy video game collection. I might head over to the pawn shop and we'll see how many bits I end up with.
I don't think the pawn shop would do that well for you. Because
pawn shop.
Yeah.
Just don't go to GameStop. You'll end up with like negative bits.
I was about to say.
Someone posted they had a special edition speckled white Xbox One, and GameStop says they'll give them a penny for it.
Ooh. Actually, Chris, you might appreciate this. So, you know, I'm not much about like Twitch streams and stuff, but I'm starting to get into them now because I have a buddy who is playing through Landstalker now because of me having played Landstalker and challenging him to it. And he's seeing it through. Like, I'm watching him suffer through all the platforming.
That's beautiful.
It's kismet. I don't know how else to explain it. It just feels good. I'm like,
That is one of the great qualities of Twitch, is when you get to know somebody who streams and you're like talking up a game and they're like, I'm going to play that on my stream. And then you just like watch them like experience it for the first time. You get to like feel it all over again for yourself too.
Yeah,
and they're like, man, this game sucks.
Yeah.
In fact, so far, it's been reverting. He thought the game sucked. I'm like, no, it's one of my favorites. You should really give it a serious try as an adult.
So it's even he went in when they think it sucks.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he was like, this game is shit. We'd be on panels together yelling at each other about how much he hates the game and I like it. And now he's like, I think I'm going to regret admitting this, but I think you were right. This is a good game. I haven't gotten to the end yet, but I think I'm liking this more than I remember it being bad. So I'm like, there we go. And he was like, it's not perfect. I'm like, I never said it was perfect. I'm just saying it's fun.
Say that.
What game is this? I want to know what game this is.
Landstalker.
Landstalker?
Yeah.
It's a Genesis game.
It's a Genesis game.
Yeah. It's got quite good music.
It was like a little Zelda-like, but it was isometric, which turns some people off. But if you ever played like a Solstice or anything like that, then, you know, you played it.
It does make the jumping a nightmare sometimes.
Absolutely. I mean, if you can hang with Mario RPG, you can hang with Landstalker. That's all I'm saying.
To an extent, because that last dungeon, man, especially, they have jumps where when you miss them.
Don't talk about the last dungeon. Let that be a surprise.
I got this far. I can't quit now. Shit, I'm suffering.
It's going to be like a surprise pregnancy. Like, hey, surprise, here's the next 9 months of your life.
Hey, surprise, you just birthed frustration.
9 months to 18 years for this last dungeon.
It took me an entire play flight.
Did it really? A whole flight?
So I spent like 7 hours or so in the air. And in that time, I did 1.5 of the 2 final dungeons. And I did the other half of the final dungeon, like in between, like before going to bed each night. I was turning. I was like, well, before I go to sleep, I'm going to put 1.5 hours until I am stuck.
Eventually, did your battery last that long?
I mean, I have a battery pack.
Oh.
They also have chargers on those planes usually.
Yeah, I ain't giving them jokes anymore.
I haven't flown in like over a decade, so I wouldn't know.
Oh, do they charge for electricity?
I don't know, but being Spirit Airlines, they probably do.
Oh, weird! I didn't know that. I guess I haven't been on enough planes.
Yeah, I don't really fly.
I was on.
I fly every year, so
yeah, I flew a bunch this summer. I didn't get charged for any.
I'm shocked.
It generally depends on the airline. In my case, I was stupid enough to choose Spirit because the numbers look good, and then everything else gets beat out of your wallet and your ass.
Oh, the Elon Musk of airlines.
Yeah, you want to check this bag? $80, fuckhead. What if I put it on the plane? $80. Doesn't matter where you put it. $80 each way.
Thanks.
Hey, shake you down. $39 to get a seat that doesn't break your legs for each plane.
$80 and we'll tell you where to put it.
Pretty much.
I just got the cheapest fucking seats they have available. And
no,
mine's only a 4-hour flight.
How tall are you, Aki?
5'11".
That's right.
Yeah, you can do that. It's a little different. When you're up here, though, every seat that's not the exit row or business is agony.
It sucks. It hurts my legs a lot, but...
Oh, you saw the pictures.
I did.
Oh, yeah, man. It's rough.
It's something I never think of.
Yeah, it's like, I hate airlines. It's like, usually, this is the very first time this has ever happened, but usually I've been on planes where the stewards, you know, on a plane where they don't charge you for every goddamn thing, the stewards usually go, oh, crap, sir, this is ridiculous. Look, come with me. I'm just going to put you in a different seat. Like, they'll just put me in a different seat. Once, the guy just straight up moved me to business class. He was like, I'm not, this is ridiculous. Look, just sit there.
Oh, yeah. He's like,
thank you.
That's what I would do.
That luck. Damn.
Nice. If I were working on a plane and I saw how little leg room you had per now, I would be like, this is not cool. This is not okay.
Because you have a heart.
Yeah.
Planes are made for people who are like 5'6" and weigh like 140 pounds. They're not made for anybody the fuck else.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that is 100% true. A row. Yeah, I mean, that's one that there's a benefit to the weight that I did lose over these last few years. That is another bit of it. I used to definitely need more than a seat. And trust me, no one gives a fuck about it. It's just you're inconveniencing everyone, including yourself. But now it's like, at least horizontally, I fit in one seat.
Yeah, that's why I won't fly anywhere. Though, people are like, oh, you should go to, what is it, not too many games. The VGCon
out the one in Minnesota.
Yeah. And I won't fly out there.
Drive.
I mean, if you want to go badly enough, and you can fork over for that like that first class seat, then you're fine. But if you need to be in the normal seats, I don't know. I mean, depending on the plane, first class in that sense might not be so bad. I don't know. But yeah, you'd want those seats only.
I try calling shotgun, but it rarely ever works.
I don't know, man. I heard the stories about you and your flight adventures.
Bitch again.
my grandparents are big and they won't fly anymore. They just drive. They drive from fucking Vegas all the way to my house. It takes them like 4 days of nonstop driving. Yeah, they refuse to take a plane though.
I have another buddy who does the same thing.
Arkansas every summer.
Well, his reasoning though is he just hates the TSA that much.
I mean, understandable.
Yeah,
that I understand that fully. I fucking hate the bastard.
So, Grant, where were you flying? What have you been up to?
I flew played several shows this summer, visited some people, saw some family. So I was on 6 different planes from April to, where was it? So that was like September or something. And I did not get COVID at all this summer. I don't know why. I still haven't gotten it, which means I have it right now because I just said that. I got lucky. It was weird. It was some of them were harrowing. Some were better than others. I had a few scary guitar incidents, but nothing terrible. It's always awful flying with a guitar. I try not to if I don't have to.
Did anything really horrible happen to your guitar while flying?
Well, no, the case. Like it was before they passed a law where they are required to let you attempt to put your guitar in an overhead bin if you're on the plane. So even though it's longer than, you know, a checked item is supposed to be, or a carry-on is supposed to be, if it's an instrument that can fit, they have to let you try to make it fit. So I always try to get like priority boarding or whatever, but now all the airlines have taken that away. You can't just pay for it, so it's a whole thing. But I had my guitar case crushed pretty badly. I ended up having to check it under the plane. This was years ago. It was like 2011 maybe. So but the guitar was fine. The case did its job. Like, it was smashed and the styrofoam was sticking out of the case, but I opened it up and old Greeny was fine. So, and they paid for my case. I know, gosh, they do their job. It's nice when they do their job. They paid for a replacement case and that's fine. But I just try to, and there have been some amazing flight attendants that will help you. Like, if there's no more room, they'll find a place, or they'll get some first class jerk to move his stuff out of the way. Like they'll make it work for you. They don't want to see anyone get their stuff hurt. So
and Thimber asked if anyone's tried Somerville. Thimber, that review will be on Thursday.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
Grant, have you played it?
But Somerville. No, I haven't yet. I've just like I peeked at a couple review scores and I've been waiting on that one, but I've been Somerville. Today. Somerville. It's from one of the guys from who made Limbo and Inside. I'm not sure which one, but
Pretty sure it was Limbo.
Yep. One of the dudes. Don't know which one. One of them made this game, and one of them made some other game that they premiered at the Summer Games Fest this summer.
So. I actually 100%ed a couple of my games, my review games this time. First time in forever that I've now managed that. I'm so happy.
I've only done that once, and it was not hard.
I used to do all of them, but now that I
take
significantly more games than I used to, I haven't been able to do that for a little while.
Oh, word, yeah.
So I think I 100% did all of my review games for this week, and I am so fucking happy. Because it means I get to delete them off my computer or off my Xbox, and I have room for the next set of games that come in, finally.
What do you have storage-wise? Do you have an external or anything?
I have I don't know if it's a 1 terabyte or a 2 terabyte external, as well as what I think it's a 1 terabyte that's internal.
Yeah.
But my external is only for storage. It can't play any of the...
That's how pretty much everything is, except those Seagate cards, which are expensive as balls.
Yeah, I just got mine on an Amazon Prime Day deal. I got it for like $80 for a terabyte or 2 terabytes or whatever it is, and I was like, fuck it, I'll do it.
Yeah, I think the cheapest was a 512. Target had them priced at like $60. Jacob, do you remember that?
What?
When Target had the Xbox SSD cards for like the 512 megabit for $60. Do you remember that?
No, I do not.
Wow, you missed out on that.
You know, I remember a time back when they got rid of memory cards and they were like, see, we're so much better. We don't have memory cards.
Now they have memory cards.
Yeah, I never wanted to go. Once we left memory cards, I never wanted to fucking go back to it. Why can't they just
put it's basically an external hard drive, though. It's just instead of plugging it into a USB slot, you plug it into a port.
Yeah, the system should just have enough in it. And 1 terabyte is not enough, and they fucking know it.
But then they can't nickel and dime you.
Well,
That's their gimmick now. They got used to it. They know we'll pay it. So they're just assholes about it and say, well, fuck people. And we just kind of deal with it.
It's very true. And I don't like it. I just don't like it.
Oh,
it's
upsetting. I like my storage. It's fast.
On the positive, it's not the Switch. The Switch is like 64 gigs. Yeah, you can deal with that. That's the updated model.
So you have a terabyte? You guys have a terabyte in your Xboxes or whatever?
Yeah, Series X is a terabyte. And the Series
so I have, has 12. Okay. So I have about maybe like 12, 13 games, I think, installed with maybe 30% remaining or so, something like that, maybe. And so you have 60, but so do you keep them all on there because you're going to play them, or are they big enough you don't want to waste bandwidth? Right.
to play. And anytime I run out of memory and I have a fucking review game that needs to be installed, I just move something over to an external, and I'm like, well, when I finish a game, I can move that back and finish it. And then you never
move it back.
It just I have not been able to move a single one back forever. In so long. The last time I moved something from that back onto my Xbox was at the start of this fucking year, and it was Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Because I was like, oh, I'll play this because I had some free time. And I played like one day of it. And then I got like 3 games in the following day. And I haven't touched it since.
What the hell was that?
Oh my God. That's beautiful. Should we do reviews?
No. I mean, yes.
Well, before we do reviews, I just wanted to complain to Tim that I spent all day yesterday. It's my first day of my vacation. On the same Elden Ring boss, but I got the motherfucker, and I just
I saw your first picture on Twitter, so hard. And I was I saw what you were playing, and I was like, oh, enhance. What is she fighting? Yeah,
you know what, Brooke? I'm gonna ask you a favor. I want to play more Elden Ring before the year is out, but I know Pokemon's going to eat my soul when it comes out this week.
Yeah.
So try to not let me forget that Elden Ring is a thing that exists, because I want to go back and play that goddamn game.
And, like, I'm a really good one to encourage you, because, you know, I've played, like, very inconsistently this year. Like, I've had a crazy 6 months, and I'm finally off work, and I'm mysteriously playing Elden Ring again and actually have energy for it. So, like, definitely freaking know how it is. But it is like riding a bike. Every time I boot it up after not playing it for weeks, I think of you, because I'm like, oh, I have so many of my skills still left over. Like, there's so much more muscle memory in it than I would have realized. So you totally still have it in you.
That is like riding a bike. Because every time I ride a bike, I think of Purnell.
Oh, sucks.
That sounds dirty, but okay.
It doesn't have to be dirty.
Every time I ride a bike, I fall over. Dirty.
I mean, no, this Bog, is no, a SML like, podcast. So.
Hey, it's Tuesday night, like though. Tuesdays.
No, I'm Aki, here. It sounds that like friendship. Okay, it sounds like friendship, Aki.
Yeah, that's a special kind of friendship.
Oh, sorry. I finally, speaking of Elden Ring, I finally moved my PS4 into my office and hooked it up. So now I can finally get back to playing Elden Ring and not have to be tied to the living room television where I do not belong.
I have a question for Brooke. Did you eat another slice of cake today?
I did, actually, and I posted a picture of it briefly, and then I fat-fingered it and deleted it. So I'll actually just send it right to you, because I thought of you. I was like, you know what? I'm going to have a second piece of cake, because Aki enabled me. And I got myself
every day of your vacation.
I can't.
Just one slice, that's all.
I'm calling it at 2 days, but I did put a little number 2 candle, and like a psycho... Like a psycho, I also bought myself candles that say "I love you," and aww, it's all for me. So it's not weird. It's fine that I'm doing this.
Yeah, yeah, it's a vacation. Yeah, sure,
yes, I'm living it up. I'm trying very hard to relax, you guys. I wake up in the morning, and within an hour, I've like lit 5 scented candles, and I'm like trying to take a deep breath. It's tough.
I need more fire to relax.
And I'll get all relaxed, and then I'll like load up Elden Ring, and then my heart's racing out of my chest, and I'm drenched in sweat, and I still haven't made any progress on the boss. But I got him, dude. Tim, I got him. It took me forever. How old are you supposed to be to beat that guy? Because I spent literally all day on him. I'm level 88.
How old? Like what?
Like what level?
How
old are you, Gabby?
Well, Tim's like, I aged 12 years to beat that fucker. Now I can't go back.
I was looking at your stats, and I was like, that seems a little low. But I don't know. You're making it work. You're also doing something with Arcane. And I like how you're like, you have your vigor like very, very high. That I don't know. Just reading the stats of your first like Souls game character says a lot about you as a person.
This is actually, I'm glad you took the time to read that, because I was thinking as I uploaded it, although like I am still such a noob to Souls games, like it really shows, like I obviously have the respect and I obviously don't know what I'm doing and obviously like vigor, but like it's not that important for my character. So one day I might respect, but I'm trying to see how far I can get. But then I finally, like towards the end of the day yesterday, I went and leveled up my weapon a little bit. I think I'm like plus 18 Uji Katana now. So it's pretty up there. I think like my weapon's probably kind of a higher level than I am, if that makes sense. That's what it feels like, but I don't know if that's true.
Yeah.
I'm doing a lot of damage, but like I get killed with one shot a lot. So it's fine. I'm like, having a good time.
Yeah. Joe's like, reviews.
No, that's just another game I got to get back to eventually.
Yeah. I plan
wanna,
on
I just want to talk about my cat more. Simon's awesome.
I want you to talk about your cat more.
No, I also want to get reviews because I got to get up in the morning. Let's go.
Okay, All right, people.
Reviews, ready?
Look alive.
All 1, 2, 3.
And go.
First game to talk about tonight is Atari 50, the anniversary celebration, developed by Digital Eclipse, published by Atari, released November 11th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $39.99. Join the celebration. Atari 50, the anniversary celebration, takes you on an interactive journey through 50 years of video games. Chris, what is going on in Atari 50?
It's got Ninja Golf. Review over.
Yay, $40. What do you think?
Oh, nice.
Absolutely. No. I guess I should give him more.
Would you play it on?
No, okay.
What are you playing
on?
I got
it on Switch.
That's the one I was told to buy. By a dude who worked on it. So that you win.
Oh, good.
You win.
I wonder if we know the same dude that worked on it. Oh, actually, I know a couple of people that worked on it, so that's going to color my review.
Yeah, I was about to say, wow, we know the money is in the pocket.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know,
we've been bought.
I'm always
paid
out there wheeling and dealing. Well, it is true that I didn't pay for this, but that's because that's how the review thing works.
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, we got a lot to talk about. I'm fooling here, and I shouldn't be. Atari 50.
Yes, Tim's getting just pissed every moment that you're dragging.
So this is a, I'm gonna say a super compilation. This isn't even like a compilation. Like Taito Milestones is a compilation. This is like something else entirely. But it is a, it's a few things. It is a collection of games, over 100 of them, for the Atari. But that's not a big deal. We've already got the Atari Classics collection that has 150 games in it. So, you know, eat that, Atari 50. Just kidding. what has happened here is that this is a curated collection, and I do mean curated. This is possibly the first instance of a real virtual museum. And I don't just mean that it's like the Namco Museum collections where you're walking around like a place, a 3D like recreation of a museum, but then you like walk around in it and then there's like some arcade games and you just play the games and that's it. Although that was really, really neat and so unnecessary. This game is divided up into, let's see, what is it? 5 different sections, each one exploring in pretty good detail the history of Atari as a video game maker. Now, if you don't know who Atari is, then I'm sorry, use the internet, find out. But you could also purchase this compilation because it will definitely tell you. It goes from its arcade origins in the like kind of late 70s. Well, of course, 50 years ago, so I guess the early 70s. And then it goes on to like talk about the birth of the console. Of course, it goes over the famous video game crash that I was born just in time to be a baby during. And then it talks about like their PC stuff, their later day stuff, you know, their stuff in the 90s. That's right, it goes over the Lynx and the Jaguar, including those games, some of them. So what it is that when you're going through the different sections, it breaks it up into like little timelines where you like read little blurbs, and then it'll show you like pictures and stuff, and it'll let you zoom in on them as you know, much as you can, you know, until it's like kind of looks good. Not like super zoom, like you can't read like the letters on the buttons and stuff. But it also has videos, and these videos contain high-quality documentary-style, like, interviews with people who were there at the time making this stuff. Some of them are really, really fun. Some of them are very informational, and a lot of them are, like, stuff that, you know, you couldn't really just look it up on Wikipedia and get the experience. Like, it really is a playable documentary. And the cool thing is, every time you come across a game, like, I don't know, Pong, it will let you, like, look at the cabinet, or you press, like, the X button, and you play Pong. Like, all the games that they show, for the most part, will have, like, a little button that lets you play the game right then and there. So, it's one of those things where, when it comes to, like, retro documentaries and stuff like that, especially about video games, like, it'll show the video game, and I'm like, ugh, I want to play that right now. I'm going to pause this and actually play this game, and then I'll come back to the documentary stuff. Because, you know, they hype it up so much that you're like, God, I really want to play Breakout. And that's what this thing actually lets you do. So that's kind of cool. So, yeah, you go through all those. And because they even made kind of a game out of the game museum, because each one of the 5 sections has an explored percentage. So if you look at the content, zoom in on stuff, play the videos, play the games, then your percentage goes up. So you can actually 100% a museum, which is amazing.
That bums me out, because I know we're jumping ahead in the review. We will come back to this, but it bums me out that they have this game-like atmosphere to the museum, and the achievements in the Xbox version and the trophies in the PlayStation version are dog shit.
Sorry about that.
There's like 16 of them, and they're all related to the new games. Nothing old, nothing to the museum, nothing to the videos, there's nothing that really drags you into playing this. But they win on content, which is, you know, achievement hunters will cry, but everyone else is going to love this thing.
Yeah, suck it, non-Switch people. No, I'm just kidding. Well, we'll get to the content because I've actually got some things to say about that. But you did provide a good segue into my next point before I get too, you know, high in the sky about the museum part. The game collection, which you can just go ahead and look at just the basic list of games anytime you want. And it basically sorts them. You can sort them by platform. You can also sort them by, like, recently played year, title, whatever. So there's different ways to, like, actually sort them, which is kind of cool, including alphabetically.
Ooh.
But, fancy. Yeah. Except that the one thing is you have to, like, I don't think you can back scroll, so I just had to push X like 10 times to get back where I was. I always have the stuff open when I'm reviewing it because I don't take notes. And this is one of those instances where you'll see that bite me in the ass. But anyways, so the game collection is there, and there's a few things that stand out. One, of course, is the 7 brand new / reimagined games that they have provided with this collection. So they have a new kind of a 3D version of Haunted Houses, which is a ridiculous. The original game is ridiculous. It's they call it the first survival horror game because you have to go through a darkened mansion and, you know, using your light source to collect items and, you know, solve puzzles and, like, get through the areas and avoid ghosts. But your character is just a floating pair of eyeballs that look in the direction that you're moving. And they have recreated that in 3D. So it's a 3D pair of eyes that are moving around a 3D space.
I love it.
It is amazing. Yeah, it's great. And it gives you, like, the most derpy, like, jump scare if you get caught by a ghost, by the way. It's kind of a jump scare, but it's so silly that you're like, oh, this is fun. They also have Neo Breakout, which is a up-to-2-player breakout that lets you compete against people. It's kind of like Tetris, the push Tetris that was on the Tetris DS game, where the more you win at Tetris, the more it pushes the field onto the other player until it makes them lose. If you don't know what that is, that's fine. Google it. they also have a brand new reimagined Quadra Tank, which has just mind-boggling controls that I hate, but I did kind of learn how to play it. And it does have 3 different control schemes, so that's good. But it's Quadra Tank. It's 4-player shoot each other with tanks. One of the most exciting ones that they have in here is the final Sword Quest game. So if you didn't know, and I've talked about this in the Atari Classics Collection because I mentioned that it included there were 3 Sword Quest games on the Atari 2600. These are like puzzle adventure games where you had to read a included comic book in order to get clues to how to solve the puzzles, and they were all kind of linked together. And the third one, Sword Quest Water World, had like this big contest attached to it and stuff. But yeah, Earth World and Fire World were the first two, and then Water World was so rare that it's, like, one of the most expensive, like, game cartridges out there for, like, this old of a system. It's, like, thousands of dollars. But they included it in the Atari Classics Collection.
Suck it, collectors.
And in this collection. However, now, in the year of our Lord 2022, they finally completed the quadrilogy and finished Air World, which had never come out. So it's a brand new Sword Quest, and it's the last one. So if you're a fan of that series, it's
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
you know what else is awesome? Root Beer dropping a sub for the 35th month. Thank you, Root Beer. Love having you here. If you like Switch games, you might want to check our channel reward points things.
Sweet.
Yeah,
yeah. Back to the review. They have finished Air World. Again, there's some other reimagined ones. There are also unlockable games, which is bullshit, but I did manage to unlock 2 of them. they give you little, like, clues, like poems about how to unlock these games and stuff. And I figured out the first one, but the second one, I just literally, it got spoiled for me on Twitter. And then I went and unlocked it myself. And I was like, okay, good. It contains a lot of, like, the actual classic arcade games, lots of 2600 games, and, like I said, it goes up to even including a little bit of Atari 800, 5200, and 7800. And 7800, of course, the most important game that they included was Ninja Golf. I don't even have to explain what it is. It is Ninja Golf. It is golf. It is ninjas. That is the must play on the on that. But it also like includes like, you know, Basket Brawl and Scrapyard Dog, which is it's just terrible. But they included both the Lynx version and the 7800 version of it. It's one of the few side scrollers on both systems, so like people are excited about it.
Is the Lynx represented well? I didn't realize they had any Lynx stuff in this game.
Yeah, so that's the thing, is that the later systems, like, you know, 7800, it's got like, you know, I'm looking at 7 games, and then it goes to Lynx, and it's like 5 games, and that's cool. Then yeah. I mean, it's pretty cool.
I was hoping for more, honestly. Like, we have so many 2600 games on so many compilations. I think they should have gone whole hog with the stuff we haven't gotten before.
Yeah, and Jaguar is really where you're just kind of like, okay. But, I mean, truth be told, there weren't that many great games on the Jaguar.
Very true.
But the one of the ones that was the most noteworthy, and I feel like also on the Lynx, like, there's some that they probably couldn't get because of licensing. So like Batman Returns, excellent Lynx game. You know, Aliens versus Predators, a really pretty solid Doom clone on the Jaguar, but you know, neither are here. What we do have is Club Drive, which is a notorious game. Cybermorph, which we will talk about after the show. But actually, I like Cybermorph a lot. This is my first time really playing it, and I'm like actually, this is pretty good.
That's pretty cool.
Fight for Life, which was kind of a Virtua Fighter clone, and it was actually fairly solid, but again, notorious. It has a bad reputation. But like, then you get the like really cool ones like Tempest 2000 and Ruiner Pinball, both of which are very solid. I'm sure, Grant, have you tried Ruiner Pinball?
I have. I'm a fan.
Okay. I thought so, because you love pinball, so.
I do.
And of course, Trevor McFurr in the Crescent Galaxy, the less said about which, the better. But
so no Stun Runner, huh? No Stun Runner, no, else? California games, no, okay, that's fine.
No California games.
Pretty good. The BMX on the Lynx California games is the best BMX has ever been.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, so like it does peter off a little bit towards the end, but again, it's more with this collection about the interactive documentary part of it, the museum aspect of it. They're really digging in and learning about like the company, because for somebody like me who grew up on NES, I always saw NES or like Atari stuff as being just too old. And I couldn't afford any of their later day consoles either. So it's like, as a you know, minor fan, this compilation definitely did a lot for me to appreciate the company a lot more. So I quite enjoyed my time with it. And I think that this whole package presentation, the way it's done, should really be copycatted by a lot of people. Because I mean,
this is like the definitive retro compilation with how they took care of everything, and SNK was like the chief to take down.
And I mean, SNK 40th was amazing as well, but this one definitely ups the game. It doesn't have everything that SNK 40th does, and it certainly doesn't have the deep dive obscurities and stuff, but it's like, it's a really good best of. And like I said, you know, for the exact same price, you can buy Taito Milestones, which is 10 games. Literally all it is 10 games in a menu.
Jeez.
And they're all they're the Arcade Archives version, so you get like the Arcade Archives like menus and stuff.
Fall into the abyss.
And options. But it's just like that's all the compilation is. It's nothing else, and it's the same price. So like, you know, comparing this to other compilations, it really stands on top.
Have you seen the controller that they've released, or the 3D printing plans for the Xbox version of this game?
Yeah, they already have one for Switch. Mike Mika put out like this on Twitter. It's like they have a 3D printing thing that you can do to make a paddle style controller attachment for your Nintendo controllers, and I guess Xbox controllers now. I feel like they're working on PlayStation as well, but
well they said PlayStation has the touchpad analog control, so they didn't really mess with that. But I didn't know it was for Switch too. I literally just bought the Switch version while we're on this show. So sweet. You did your job.
I sold one.
You did. You sold one. I'm so excited about it. But I didn't know they did the 3D printing thing for Switch. They just said to get that because it uses touchscreen.
Oh, nice. So. You know what? I did not test the touchscreen on the on the Switch version. I better do that, I guess.
Nice to know it's there, though, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Now the game's $40. What is your verdict?
Well, my verdict is the same as it was before. It's got Ninja Golf on it. It is a buy it. I would have bought it just for Ninja Golf. I'm so glad that it came with all this other crap.
Nice. All right, moving on. Next game is Ghost Song, developed by Old Moon, published by Humble Games, released November 3rd on Xbox One, Series X, and S for $19.99. Also available as a part of Xbox Game Pass, on the desolate moon of Lorien, a long-dormant dead suit awakens from slumber, armed and combat-ready, memory clear of purpose, but something new is stirring. Descend deep into the darkness, only then will you learn, or is it remember, the truth. Tim, what's going on in Ghost Song?
My God, I think, I don't know, here we are in mid-November of this year, and I think this game is, when I reached the moment where I maybe have played too many Souls-likes and or too many Metroidvanias all at the same time. This is Souls-like mechanics draped over Super Metroid, or Super Metroid draped over Souls-like mechanics, whichever way you want to take it. You are the ghost suit thing. So you have a Samus like appearance and movement set to a certain extent, in that you have a buster, a gun on your arm. You can hold a trigger to aim it around. You will pick up stuff. You'll pick up special weapons. You know, one of the first things you pick up is a missile type deal that blows open pinkish red doors if you shoot enough missiles at it. Those attacks are tied to a what do you call it, a meter, instead of having a quantity available. Like recent Metroids, you have a melee attack that's going on.
Speaking of quantity, Jacob wants to announce that he subbed for his second month. Thank you, Jacob. You dick.
Thanks, Jacob.
You are welcome.
It's listeners like you, man.
Meh.
Sorry,
you do
Tim.
Pick up like energy tank like almost like power-ups, except that they're actually more of an Estus flask like deal, where it's a one-time heal when you're in between save points. And you know, the game, you're exploring this alien planet. There is mystery and isolation about. The game sets a good tone for, you know, kind of that Super Metroid-y space sci-fi vibe. You know, it's going to grab your Dark Souls-y tropes, where you're picking up experience points off of enemies. You are reaching checkpoints where you can spend them. If you die out in the field, you drop your shit where you stood, and your suit, your ghost suit, is also semi-permanently damaged, I guess I should say, in that your life will be decreased by a certain percentage until such point as you can repair the damage. So it's doing that. The problem is that I don't like anything about playing this game at all.
I like the artwork. It is a beautiful game, I think.
Yeah, it looks nice. It sets a good mood. So one, your character moves very slowly, which sucks when you're having to traverse a lot of ground quickly and retread ground as well. You get a horizontal dash early on, which also gives you, like, you have invincibility at the beginning of the dash, but only, like, you only get invincibility. If you use the dash repeatedly, you don't get invincibility. Like, there's, like, a little meter that has to refill. But anyways, what you find yourself doing is just, like, mashing on the dash to try to just move faster around these areas. Enemies are friggin' just take so much damage.
Bullet sponges.
To take down. Absolute bullet. You know, damage sponges. They are meaty boys. When you die, you drop your stuff, you go back to a checkpoint. The save points are pretty scattered. They are not like frequent. And furthermore, there is the second type of save point, the one you really like, the one that lets you upgrade your character and repair that semi-permanent damage to your suit, those are even further apart. So, you know, you're collecting currency, but you can only spend it in very few places in the game. And that sucks. Well, you can also use it. It also acts as currency. There is a shop up at this, like, ship you're trying to help these people repair. But, yeah, and if you drop your stuff and you die again, then, you know, your stuff's gone.
Dark Souls magic.
But, well, the thing is, though, and this is a tough thing when you're adapting a Souls-like game to a two-dimensional plane. What I think people don't maybe might not realize until they played a lot of Souls games, it's just like, okay, you drop your shit. It is a lot of the time super easy to get back to because you can just run past all the damn enemies, pick it up, and you're good. And you know the layout of the way there, unless it's like narrow, you know, corridors or whatever between you and your stuff. Like, it's usually pretty easy to get back. But when you're in a 2D plane, every corridor is narrow and you can only go a certain way to get there. And one of the first times I died, and like the game respawned me, you know, way back at some previous checkpoint, and I tried to go around the wrong way, not realizing, and this is a problem with the map, that I could not get back through the way that I was going because there was a door there that I could not open. So I had gone the wrong way and I would need to backtrack like all the way around to get back to my stuff, which is retreading ground. You know, I just went that way, then I got to go back and I'm retreading the ground that I just went through trying to get my stuff. And it takes a long time because you're, dude is just such a fucking turd to move around. And, you know, longtime listeners will know there's nothing I like less than games that waste my time and just having to, like, oh my God, go, like, even not even forget my stuff. Like, if I kept my stuff and I died keeping my stuff, and there is an easier difficulty that mitigates that.
Yeah, unfortunately,
so,
you can't,
that is an option
during the game. You have to start over.
Yeah, that isn't a decision you have to make, but that difficulty is there. It is up front. That's fine. Whatever. But even if I died and went back to one of those far-flung checkpoints, I would still be pissed off because I'd still have to retread all that ground. And it came upon me very quickly. I'm just, you know, after I died a couple times, I'm like, this is just such a pain in the ass. You do get the healing. So your buster, like your gun, is also like it overheats and becomes less effective if you hold the thing down for like, I don't know, 7 seconds, and then it shoots slower and does less damage and has less range. So you have to like wait for that to cool off, and that takes a long time too if you want to make full effective use of your main weapon. You do pretty quickly get like an upgrade to your melee. You get this like spear thing, which is pretty good, but you know. Again, these enemies take like a ton of damage, and you end up fighting many of them at once, and just this things can go sour so fast. There's like these hunter special enemies that are scattered about, which sometimes I would find myself locked in combat with, like when I'm just kind of wandering. I'm just like, oh shit, there's somebody here who's like more mobile than the enemies around. But you know, here and there, and so the main quest of the game is trying to help these people repair their ship, which. You talk to them and then they tell you like, okay, we need five or six parts. And it marks them on your map and it gives you a recommendation. You should go get this one first. So you go out there and you can only carry one ship part at a time. So you're literally going out, picking up a piece of something and then bringing it back like straight through the same area you just went through. Then you go back out again, get the next piece, bring it all the way back. So it's just fetch questing, just down, get the thing, come back, get the thing, come back, get the thing, come back. And the whole time it doesn't like teleport you back or give you some fast way or some fast travel to get back. You're retreading again, this area, with this not very elegantly moving, you know, set of space armor. That is, you know, the mobility is where the comparisons to Samus end. Just kind of the basics of the arsenal, because, you know, when you get good at a Metroid game, there's a lot of movement options. You can kind of zip through areas like relatively quickly. And this is just like such a slog, and like the And it's a bummer. And, you know, I do think there is definitely some fatigue just in me personally from having played a lot of these games lately. I mean, I think the last Souls like I reviewed was like, what, like 2 weeks ago?
We got a lot of them. There's a lot of Souls likes releasing. Anyway.
There is.
Popular trend.
It is. Absolutely. Yeah. There's tons of games that use those tropes, and some use them much better than others, and some do more interesting things with them. But for me, it's just like, and apparently this game was kickstarted like 8 years ago or something like that. Wow. So this has been a long time coming. So they, you know, they pitched themselves. At the time they pitched themselves, they're like, oh, like it sounded probably like a fresh original idea. But, you know, now in 2022, with it actually coming out, there's been so many, one, Metroidvania games, two, Souls-like games, three, games that combine those two things together, that it does stand out because of its art and kind of its mood. But, like, in terms of its, like, gameplay, it's just like, okay, this is all stuff we've done before, and it is executed not in a fun fashion.
And what would you do to fix it besides increasing the movement speed? What else can you do?
I don't know, man. They worked on it for 8 freaking years. It needs more save points. Got to be moving faster. I mean, it's just like there's some things I'm sure at some point, and this is me speculating here, it's like they just had to do something to get this game across the finish line to tie it together. They may have had greater ambitions, but they just had to ship something. The good news is, It's on Game Pass.
Yeah.
So if you want to dip your toe in, you don't have to spend $20 on it, and I don't think you should.
Is that your official verdict?
Yes, $20? That is my verdict. Yeah, I would be quite sour paying $20 for this. A lot of people seem to like it out there. I am not one of them. I don't know if they're just like, I kickstarted this, you know, however many years ago, and I think they're just tinted by like wanting it to be good. But for me, it just did not work. But oh well.
I can definitely echo you on the movement and echo you on the lack of save points. That was frustrating.
Yeah, those are the two biggest things. I could probably deal with like the meaty enemies a bit more if
slapping meat.
Some more movement options are just
so meaty.
It's just like, oh god, I gotta go through this room. There's a bunch of enemies in it. I gotta kill all these guys because they're just in my way. Everything's like tall.
Because I was kind of looking forward to that game.
Hey, you know what? It's on Game Pass. Just check it out. Whatever. It might be your cup of tea. Not mine.
Man, in my case, you saved me some money because I was like, it's been getting hyped on like, you know, a lot of forums, but you know how it goes. There's always something where it's like, I love this game, but they don't really give you any context on the why they love it. So it puts it on your radar, but you just gave me the context that I needed. So that's good.
Mel, do you want to know what game I love, Purnell?
SubQuest.
No. Vampire Survivors, developed and published by Punkle, released November 10th on Xbox One and Series X and S for $4.99, also available as part of Xbox Game Pass. Vampire Survivors is a time survival game with minimalistic gameplay and roguelite elements. There's no place where to hide. All you can do is try to survive a cursed night and get as much gold as possible for the next survivor before death inevitably puts an end to your struggles. Jacob, tell us about your time with Vampire Survivors.
So, yeah. So, Vampire Survivors is this game which initially does not have a lot of lore going into it, but it's one of those things where the farther you get into the game, the more you find out about what's happening. And you start off with a couple of different characters that you can run around as. And I'm not going to lie, like, when Joe first proposed, like, you know, this game as like, hey, do you want to review this? I was like, I don't know, maybe. But he was like, like, all these people are chatting it up as game of the year, and I'm playing it, and I'm like, I don't know what the fuck he's talking about. But at the same time, I couldn't stop playing it.
Exactly.
Even though I kept, even though I couldn't, like, I wasn't getting particularly far, I couldn't make it past 10 minutes.
This game does have a slow ramp, but before you know it, it has its claws in you and you cannot tear yourself away without leaving a piece of your flesh behind.
What? Yeah. Once you start figuring out how things work, because as you run around and kill these things, kill all like the different monsters and stuff, you gain experience, and then once you level up, you can decide what specific thing you're gonna
trait or power.
Skill, power up, whatever you want to call it. Like, there's a whip you can use. There's like you can hold garlic, which like kind of acts as like a repellent.
So it should be stated that like your input in this game is minimal. You are only controlling the movement of your character. You are on a 2D like overhead map. They attack automatically. You just move them around and then select things from a menu when you level up. That is it.
Which I'm not going to lie, I found to be really frustrating at first because I started off with the guy with the whip, and he could only he only whips from whatever direction you're heading around in, and so it's like I'd have to walk to the right a bunch and then move left, so I could kill all the monsters that were following behind me.
But then you upgrade your whip, and the whip comes out on both sides.
Yeah,
right.
And you get the duplicator, and you get four whips.
Exactly. And then it's like, you have your magic wand, which has more projectiles and stuff. And so it's like you run around and like you kill like little mini bosses, you collect treasure, and you get a bunch of gold. It upgrades something for you. You keep moving around. And all these upgrades will eventually build to other unlocks. And then all of the levels have their own like little mini secrets. Here's objects that are hidden here. Here's like a character that you can unlock that's over here. Once you start combining shit, my friend Baron, he watched me play it because he was like, oh, what's this thing about? And then he was just like, holy shit, I'm going to go play this. And he spent like literally all the next day just playing it. And then I was like, oh man, like, how are you doing this? Cause I still couldn't get past like 10 minutes. And he's like, oh, well, you need to upgrade your garlic and the cross and like stop investing in like this other crap. Cause none of it actually helps. And then once you get this one guy who starts with garlic, and I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about, man? And like, so he had to start guiding me through it. And now it's just like, here I am like DMing Joe in the middle of the day being like, oh, does this game punish you if you last for 30 minutes or more? And he's like, I don't know, man, you're fucking farther along than me, which almost never happens.
True.
So, yeah. No,
when you hit 30 minutes, the game sends the Grim Reaper or Grim Reapers out to kill you dead. Though you can still survive for a few minutes depending on your build.
Like
I was gonna say, if you have the pentagram fully leveled up or whatever.
Well, if you have like garlic and laurels and the thing that freezes them, they can't catch you.
One thing about the game I found particularly interesting, though, the fact that once I learned that the game is designed to spawn death at 30 minutes and that inevitably he's going to kill you. In other words, saying the game is designed to say you're going to die at X point in time. I was confused at one point about why would I want to keep playing knowing that the game intends to kill me just for reaching a deadline. It's almost like saying it's going to end. And yet somehow it was still just kind of fun to see what different combinations of things would result in on levels. It's a weird formula this game has.
Yeah. And then once you've upgraded everything that you have, the game just starts throwing coins at you. And it was amazing because earlier today when I did my 30-minute run, my whole fucking screen was just filled with enemies, and I'm just walking around with my garlic and I forget what the fuck else I had equipped, but it was just I am death, and I'm just mowing through everybody.
Yeah, it comes to a point where it's like a bullet hell shooter, except you are the hell.
Yeah.
I love when that happens.
So Jacob, what level are you on? How far have you actually progressed through the game?
I'm curious. I've only got the farthest level I've played is the dairy, the haunted dairy,
which is what level is that?
Third level.
Yeah.
Okay, because that's where I am. I feel like I've hit this wall where I'm not really making a lot of bank, at least enough to get new upgrades beyond what I already have. I'm just playing Garlic Boy 9000 because I love steamrolling bitches. But I don't feel like I'm making as much progress per level. I'm making like, you know, I've hit 15 minutes a few times, but I'm not progressing. And I think I'm supposed to make unions and I got a map and I'm kind of like, I played about 5 games in a row and I'm like, man, am I done?
You know, I just
I
not.
Well,
I hit kind of a wall there too.
Forest a bunch. For a bit.
Well, sometimes there's a lot of, I mean, Tim could probably, it sounds like Tim's probably played a lot more of this than I did, but from what I end up experiencing, one thing that I kind of feel like is it's sometimes just a matter of like the items that come up in your item pool and the combos you pick, because I do know there's like certain items that synergize with other items, and when you get them together, you get an amazing setup there. Like, for me, there was like a black bird and a white bird.
Oh my God, that thing is insane.
Those fuckers just save everything.
That I had that thing during my my 30-minute game today, and my buddy Baron was like, "Oh, don't invest in the bird; it's not worth it."
Yeah, bullshit.
Your friend is fucking wrong.
Fucking invest, fucking invest in that bird, because once he gets up high enough in level, that thing just goes insane and just fires off like tons of like fucking lasers all over the damn
place. When it gets upgraded and it just starts shooting rainbow lasers all over the place. That's fantastic. So the way this game, and Joe, you'll love this, the way all the progression of this game is tied into, and it's something, if you're hitting a wall, this might be something to look at, is you look at the achievement list, or the unlock list in the game, because that gives you all of these goals that you have to hit to unlock more stuff. So you look that over and you're like, okay, well, if I get this character to this level or get this weapon to this level or get this far on this level or, you know, break open the coffin to unlock a new character over here, you know, that starts opening more things up. Because I still don't understand how, like, certain levels unlocked. But you look at this list of unlockables, and each one of those is an achievement. This game has like 130 achievements.
Yeah,
like,
it's ridiculous.
They're all 5 points, I think, or close to it. So it's like, yeah, each time you complete a good run, you'll pop off like 6 achievements. But that's, you know, that's what you have to look at to, like, if you're kind of stuck, I think, to like get your progress going, just kind of look at it and be like, okay, well, what can I do? What is within reach? Other than that, breaking open the coffins to unlock more characters, that gives you more options and stuff to unlock, because that gives you more weapons as well. And getting those weapon fusions also, figuring those out will get you going. I'm at a point where, like, sometimes on my runs, I have like 3 or 4 of the fused super weapons going. Jeez. And it's just it's a madhouse on the screen. It's insane.
my best run was like a 27 minute run. So I got close. I didn't know it capped out at like 30 minutes, but I got mm-hmm. close to that max. I had the powered up wand that just shot like a machine gun everywhere. And I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah, the powered up Santa water is really good, because you can kind of stand still and it just makes pools of damaging water around you. Combine that with your garlic and your laurels, nothing's touching you. I think I had those two. Those
so
three
I guess you could say you should be resting on your laurels.
Yeah, the laurels are really good.
Be ashamed, Jacob. Be very ashamed.
Just no sell.
No, that was so good. I walked over and unmuted so I could. I love that.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like that you explained what Castlevania was to someone, like a native Spanish speaker, but in like your high school Spanish. So it's like all kind of messed up, and they got the gist of it, and then they made this game.
Okay, that sounds awesome.
It's weird, but there's a lot of Castlevania tropes in there, and Bayonetta. It's something.
I mean, it's not as sexy as Bayonetta.
Justify the $5 digital. I'll wait for the $50 physical release.
No, you need to wait for the 75-rated edition.
Yeah, this game is $5.
$5!
And it's on Game Pass. They could easily charge like $15-$20 for this game, and it's worthwhile.
Exactly.
I got like
$5 you'll spend this year.
Yeah, and they actually raise the price. It was $4.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
whoa.
Yeah, and they're like, we got to raise the price. We got to do something. And they bumped it up to $5, and people are like, oh my God, this is still way too cheap.
Yeah. 125% increase. Oh my.
Mm-hmm.
So, official verdict, Jacob.
It sucks.
Ass-trocious.
Who else wants to give it a buy it? Who?
Yeah,
I think this entire podcast will.
Yeah, well, why not?
It's $5.
Looks like I haven't played it, but buy it.
$5. Oh man, it was $3 on Steam shortly before it released. Oh man.
Yeah, I feel like I remember buying it back in like February or something. Double the price.
You stupid assholes. No.
Yeah, back in April, it had already sold 2.5 million copies.
Good God.
Jeez. No, it's great though. It's a great $5 to spend. I've been playing it on my Steam Deck. It's fantastic on there. I don't know if it'll be able to come to Switch, because once this game gets crazy, it might make a Switch just
explode.
Catch on fire. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Tim, I guess
that's it. I'm out of here. I'm going to bed. You get nothing out of me. Bye. Good night.
Wow. Bye. Wow. He just
cold blooded.
Wow. Just gone.
He just pissed the fuck out.
Surprised he even finished that last word. Wow. Holy shit.
All right. Well, next game is MicPixel 3, developed by Saw Sanowski, published by Devolver Digital, released November 14th on Switch, Xbox, and Steam for $9.99. MicPixel 3 is a mind-blowing save-the-day adventure that sees the titular wannabe hero avert one disaster after another at every turn using unconventional yet entertaining methods of mayhem. Grant, I know you're a big fan of MicPixel 2.
Titular, Joe. Titular.
Yeah.
You did good with Sauce Sosowski. That's the guest developer's name. MicPixel. Has anyone tried it? Did anyone play that gem back in 2012?
Yeah, no? I actually almost asked for this.
Never even heard of it.
So I was really pumped to see this on the lineup and that it was you. I'm excited.
Oh, I'm good. Well, so it turns out that, you know, you might wonder what happened with MicPixel 2. I wondered why I missed MicPixel 2, because this is MicPixel 3. MicPixel 2 didn't exist. They just jumped right to 3. There's a long video on the I know, let's talk about an upgrade. There's a long video on the Devolver Digital, which says a lot, YouTube channel about the story of MicPixel 2, how it went from, you know, epic first-person shooter to MMORPG to all these different incarnations before it was finally just scrapped because it became too much of a beast, and they decided to start over with MicPixel 3 instead. So, yeah, exactly. So, MicPixel is sort of a take on MacGyver or MacGruber or whatever. He's saving the day in peculiar ways. It's a really chonky pixel action game. It's got this kind of like, I don't know, let's say Atari Lynx aesthetic. That's probably accurate. It's a little past the 2600, but it's a little pre-Nintendo. And the what happens is you control MicPixel in a variety of different scenarios. You are put in these situations where you have to save the day in ways that you would not normally expect. And you're able to interact with different parts of the environment to try and figure out what you're supposed to do to solve the problem. The problem might be a guy who has his fire too big in the woods and is going to cause a forest fire, or you might be in a helicopter and you might need to stop that helicopter from running into a building. You can, it's sort of like an adventure game, you can choose what thing on the screen you interact with, and that will normally not result in what you expect. This game is sort of like, it's trial and error of the game, and what is enjoyable about it is the humor. So some people might find that a little bit annoying, because you don't really use logic to solve these problems. You might get a train ticket and then click on the conductor, and you think you might go and hand that woman your train ticket to get on the train. Instead, you just go and kick her in the ass, and then she turns around and kicks you in the ass. And that's sort of how that scenario plays out. There are a number of different things that can happen in every scenario, and those things are listed as checkboxes. So you might fail a scenario and you can choose to play it again and sort of fully complete these scenarios by going through every possible solution to every problem that you encounter. And then you just sort of, they're like every scenario is sort of a series of 5 scenes, and you sort of replay scenes until you figure out, you know, what you're actually supposed to do to save the day, quote unquote. It's very much like the first game. It's different in the sense that there's sort of a hub world. You go around, you earn money to unlock different parts of the world and travel around to see all this crazy shit. You pee on a lot of things. There's a lot of crotch kicking. It's that kind of thing. The music is, someone mentioned Goat Simulator. It's very Goat Simulator. It's like, it's not terrible music, but it's bad music. But it's bad in the right way. Like, it's bad. There's not even any sound effects in this game. The game is absent. The sound effects are completely absent because they want you to just listen to the music. It's sort of like watching some bizarro silent movie in a way. It's very, very strange. It really comes down to the kind of humor you're into. I think if you watch the trailer for this game and you laughed, you'll want to play this game.
I think all you have to do is read the store page for it. It says unconventional yet entertaining methods of mayhem, including summoning a spider billionaire, having a barbecue in his pants, punching a T-Rex into outer space.
Yes, that did happen.
Peeing into sports cars, which you mentioned. Some of the key features: 100 mind-blowing levels, 900 hilarious gags, over 20 mini games. Steve, he's a feature.
Yeah, Steve. Steve's a big deal in this game. He's a whole. It's
we
a whole
love
thing.
Steve.
It's a whole thing, and it's all. A lot of plays on different. You know, there's a lot of referential humor. It plays on shmups. It plays on sitcoms. It plays on. There's a whole series. The whole series where each scene in the series takes place in a different era of gaming history. So there's like the 2600 level and the CGA DOS game and shit like that. It's neat. The only thing I will say that it's a big complaint. This is you won't know if you didn't play the original, but when you complete a scenario in the original game, this voice comes on and goes, MacPixel. It's really weird, and it sort of like made the original game, and I think it only happens once in this game, and that's the title screen, and I hate it. It's like a missing piece of punctuation that I wish was still MacPixel. Anyway,
so they need to re-add that.
They do. Okay. That needs to go in. If we can please get that, if that could be in the 1.1, I'd appreciate it. It's true story. This is available for Windows, Mac, Linux, Xbox, Switch, Raspberry Pi. This is all real. BSD, Haiku, Linux Terminal, Windows 95, and Windows NT. All playable. I figured this should be
95.
Yep, 95 and NT. I feel like this should be setting some sort of Guinness record for like biggest compatibility at launch. But it isn't on mobile, and I really think that's a bummer. This would be perfect on mobile. I don't think Devolver does anything on mobile, so maybe that's why they don't want
PlayStation either. I wonder what's up with that.
That's weird. It's on freaking Windows 95. It's on Windows 95. It's not on PS5. Just want to put that out there.
Clearly, the PS5 can't handle it.
Clearly. So I think this game is something that you just come to for a few minutes, you play a couple scenarios. You're not gonna marathon this thing. That's why I think it'd be perfect for mobile. We call them super poopers. It'd be a great super pooper, but it's not on mobile, and that's okay. If it's Devolver, it probably won't get there. But it's $10.
Great term for that.
A super pooper, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
Vampire Survivors would also be well. If you got unless you're Joe and you're going to full 30 minutes, I don't know. Anyway. So yeah, it's $10. I really like it, but I also appreciate the aesthetic. And if you like that kind of game, watch a trailer. If you think you might dig it, I think it's worth the $10. There you go.
Cool.
Also, Windows NT.
Cool. Are you gonna? That's it for you. Are you gonna stick around, or are you heading out?
I'll hang out. I'll finish reviews.
Cool. Sweet. Because next one is the big one.
Ooh.
Horse Tales, Emerald Valley Ranch, developed by Acer Interactive, published by Microids, released November 1st on Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $39.99. Your vacation at your aunt's turns out to be far from what you expected. Your once grand family property has fallen into ruins, and you find yourself facing a huge challenge: how to return your ranch to its former glory. Jacob, did you return your ranch to its former glory?
I'm getting there. I'm working on it.
Slowly but surely.
Sure.
Yeah. So funnily enough, this game was actually supposed to have been reviewed last week. And when Joe was just like, "Hey, do you want to play this horse club or this horse adventure game?"
No. You asked me.
All right. Well, first you're like, off,
is it on Xbox?
No.
Which initially you had said it was.
The press release.
Who is the liar here, Joe?
The press release was wrong, and they sent out a correction.
Anyway,
suck it.
Anyway, so with this game, I like, you know, here I am figuring, it's just going to be like a normal horse thing. like horse video game where it's just like, yeah, you get to ride a horse, but like, you know, this is some shovelware stuff. And like, and I fire it up and I start playing it, and I immediately DM Joe, and I'm just like, yo, this game is way more in depth than I thought it was going to be. Can we please push this? So as it turns out, the game is just this, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, cause it's just, I mean, it's not like an RPG. It's not an action RPG, but it's just like, you ride around on a bunch of horses on this island. You complete quests and you rebuild your ranch. Plus there's breeding mechanics in this thing too, which I was not expecting, but you know, let's start off at the beginning. You know, as they say in Sound of Music, it's a very good place to start. Nice. Come on. Anybody else going to get excited for musical references?
No.
Same. Right here.
All right. Thank you.
I don't know that one, but I like the line.
I appreciate your enthusiasm, Chris.
Very pure, Chris.
So you get off the boat because, you know, you're expecting to be going to your aunt's for your summer vacation, and like the dock looks like shit in this town, but it's like a little nice seaside village, and you're met by this one person who works for your aunt, and they're just like, yo, by the way, yeah, so the place is in like disrepair and it kind of sucks, but you do get to pick out a horse for yourself. And I'm like, okay, cool. So, like, the game's gonna, like, let me pick what color. No, it's not just, like, what color. You go and you meet, like, the individual horses, and you're given, like, four of them that you could possibly go with to start. You only get one, though. But it's just, like, you get multiple things to decide upon. Obviously, like, color, like, what kind of horse it is, male or female. And then the horses start having traits, too. And it's just like, it's just like, some of them like running really fast. Some of them like going into forests. Some of them don't like going into forests. And, like, you know, some of them like, I don't know.
All of them like shitting on the floor.
Well, I mean, there was one who enjoyed a commode, so I don't know. Oh, but anyway.
Awesome. Well trained.
I appreciate that the store page says that you will come across many animals. Each one being unique. Yes.
Yeah. And they're not lying about it either. Like, that Unicorn Princess game that like I played last year, like that thing, it was just essentially like, oh, what color horse do you want? This one's like, yeah, you got a lot of determining factors that you have to figure out. You know, before you even choose your horse. And then on top of it, like, there's other stuff too. Speed, agility, like, all this other kind of stuff. And it's just like, oh, damn. Like, you've got a lot to mess with. Because those things are going to be important for later on when you actually start breeding your horses. Which, thankfully, isn't that big of a process. It's just, you know, you have to have a stable. You have to have two horses, male and female. You know, unfortunately, there's no horse adoption in this game.
The store page mentions that you can have your own stud farm.
Yeah, you can.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And by breeding strategically, you'll be able to enhance their abilities and obtain unique colors for your mounts.
Yeah. It gets really in depth. And so the thing is that you end up having to spend a lot of time training your horses, cleaning your horses, going on little fetch quests, running around the island, just trying to gather resources so you can rebuild your aunt's ranch to, like, you know, its former glory, or even better than what it was, because you were able to build up new buildings that she didn't even have.
Yeah, fuck her and her original intentions for the farm. You do what you want. You go, girl.
Yeah. Yeah, and so it's just like, there is a fuck ton to do in this game. Now, I honestly only really had two problems with it. The first thing is the camera. It's just, it's all over the damn place, and eventually you'll get used to it, but, like, it's rough from the start, and you can easily fuck yourself over during a race. You know, just, like, if you accidentally tilt it the wrong way, because sometimes when you're doing a race, like, your horse is going to have to turn on a dime, and you're going to have to be able to turn your camera too at the same time. And it's not like, it's not something simple like a driving game like Forza or something like that. It, like, I don't know.
Just imagine you drifting horses.
Yes.
But it's just like, you know, that gets kind of frustrating. And then the game also, like, early on, it explains the mechanics of, like, how you do stuff. And there was one point where I accidentally advanced through the dialogue too quickly on how to duck underneath branches. And I'm like, oh, shit, okay, well, I missed that. And, like, I'm pushing buttons, and the game keeps telling me to, like, retry it again, but it's not telling me what I have to do. And so, like, I'm doing a lot of trial and error, and nothing that I'm doing is working. And so I'm like, all right, whatever, I'll just go into the game control, like, the pause menu, and, you know, it'll tell me there. No, it won't. So I actually had to restart my game. Thankfully, it was only like 20 minutes in, but because I missed out on how to duck. And I'm just like, that's a weird oversight.
By not going goose.
Shut up. But it's just like,
how do you duck? Just like what button do you push?
Oh, it's a combination. It's like down and down and shit. What was it?
Well, he's not finishing the game, apparently.
I have to have my Switch controller back because I'm also not used to using a Switch controller. I had to buy like months ago. We had to buy me one of those like fake Xbox controllers for the Switch, just so I could. Yeah, because my hands also like cramp up after like 5 minutes of using the Joy-Cons.
How much?
But
I'm sorry, you old fuck.
Anyway. So yeah, so like, honestly, like, this is a pretty in-depth game, unexpectedly, and the graphics are pretty nice. It kind of looks like somebody was like, yo, I like Breath of the Wild-esque things, why don't we just focus on the horse and nothing else? Like, you know, so if you like that kind of cartoony-ish, but also it kind of looks real, graphic aesthetic, yeah, honestly, like, this is a pretty damn good horse game, even if you don't like horses to begin with.
Well, it's so, $40. What are your thoughts?
I'm sorry, how much?
40.
You cut out 40?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd say it's actually worth it. Believe it or not, this was really unexpected. I was really expecting like a little shit shovelware title, and it's definitely not. Like, it's surprisingly well done and well thought out.
It's good to hear. It seems Microids has taken their releases more. Like a few years ago, Microids wasn't putting out the best stuff, but it seems like they've been turning it around big time.
Yeah.
So
I was going to say, like, I had reviewed another title of theirs like a few weeks ago, and that one was pretty good too.
Oh, we're covering a lot of Microids this fall. They have a lot of stuff coming out. But next game is Fluffy Horde, developed by Turtle Juice.
Wait, isn't that it for me?
Yeah.
And that's it for you, Jake.
I thought you were going to stick around. Fine, then leave.
No, bitch. I'm not going to stick around. I have to go feed my dog and like take him out.
Bugger off then, Jesus.
So feed your dog and come back. We'll miss you.
No, I have to go play more Vampire Survivor.
That's fair.
How have you not mastered gaming while being on the show like the rest of us?
Because my Xbox Series X is downstairs and I record upstairs in the office.
Okay.
Not only was I gaming,
I
created a whole new folder in my Switch library so I could like sort out my retro games.
I'm almost halfway done with my brand new review game that I got today. So,
nice.
Jake, do you have any final words?
Oh no, I just wanted to bitch.
Later, Jess's husband.
Ooh, wonderful callback. I hope you heard that.
I'm going to try to make sure to call him that from now on.
Yeah, same. Thanks for bringing it back. I already forgot about that.
You didn't hear it, but he felt it.
I'll have to remember that. I wrote things down to try and remember them. Like, my wife said the dumbest thing today. She tried to say imposter and impersonator, and she came out with impostinator.
Nice.
Like, and that. I wanted to talk about that at the beginning of the show so I could use that as the title, but I mentioned it here so I could use it as the title.
Nice. Is that like that is that like that, like, you know, spaghetti made out of zucchini?
I think it's Arnold Schwarzenegger spaghetti. Impostinator. So yeah, God. Next game, Fluffy Horde, developed by Turtle Juice, published by Red Deer Games, released November 11th on the Switch for $9.99. You are the only thing standing between a magical Rabbitmancer shaman and the complete annihilation of the Three Kingdoms. Fluffy Horde is a 2D side-scrolling game with a crystal-clear goal. Defend against a magical bunny horde with hyper-breeding tendencies. Halt their offensive or die of embarrassment. Chris and Brooke, you both check this one out. Who wants to start?
Brooke's choice.
Not it.
Okay, she said not
okay.
It.
Okay.
All right, Chris, what is Fluffy Horde?
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, no problem. Fluffy Horde. So, this is a pixelated retro throwback style game. It is, dare I say, unusual.
Ooh.
In its in its presentation. So, nice. This game has you defending almost kind of, you know, what would you call it? Like a defender, desktop defender style. What's that genre called?
Tower defense?
Tower defense. Thank you. The game was called Desktop Defender, and that's like the one I thought of. That's like all the way back to 360 or something. Anywho's. So you are to protect your kingdom, or rather your kingdom's windmills, and various other things later on in the game, from a horde of rabbits. Those rabbits are coming at you fast. They are multiplying like rabbits, and they aim to take down your windmills. So each stage, of which there are apparently 25 across four worlds, or like 25 in four worlds each, so like a total of 100, if I'm not mistaken. I have not played all 100, so don't hold me to that. Each one has its own little thing that you have to do. They throw in a few gimmicks here and there, some other kind of goals. Sometimes they'll throw you in for like a curveball, like because normally what you do is you use the kind of main building in the center of town to hire soldiers, and you do it quickly. You just click, 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 and it's like soldiers just appear as long as you have money. You get money as long as your farmers are still farming. If the rabbits get them, they don't get to farm no more, so you don't get any money. But there's other ways to get money and stuff, too. But really, it kind of goes pretty fast. Like, a lot of the levels have, like, you know, extra trophies that you get if you beat it in like under a minute. So these go fast. It's not like an RTS style thing. But yeah, it really, and it, while it is that you basically hire soldiers to defeat the bunny horde, occasionally the game will offer other tools as well that you get to use and interact with. Bridges, a decoy guy dressed up as a giant carrot, you know, different things like that, and they get pretty extravagant. And occasionally the game will throw you things like, you know, oh, this, you actually can't fight back against the bunnies. You have to find some other way to save the day. So they've got a really interesting thing going there. And of course they kind of wrap that up with a humor and, you know, so it's a comedy game. I'll let Brooke talk before I get into the comedy and stuff about that. But that's the basic gist of it, is that it's basically reverse lemmings. They're
ooh,
all these
good
bunnies. Yeah. These bunnies are coming at you and you got to kill them all. Every single one. And that's repeat.
Gotta kill them all.
There you go.
Brooke, dude, what are your thoughts
reverse
on
lemmings
Fluffy
is
Horde?
Really good. This, I haven't played a lot of stuff like this. I started this game up and I was like, whoa, this is kind of unlike anything I've played. And it reminded me of a few different games, but it's kind of like, that's why I wanted Chris to go first, because like, I know it's referencing a lot of things that I haven't played, but it's kind of got like tower defense, real-time strategy, and I almost want to say puzzle too, because in each level, like, you're not just getting rid of the bunnies, you're very rarely like just killing everything and like defending the tower and moving on. There's normally like some extra gimmick or trick per level, which I thought was really cool. First of all, I want to say, like, it's got gorgeous pixel art. This is just, like, my type of art to look at. And it doesn't have the craziest budget in the world for, like, pixel art, but it looks really good. The backgrounds are awesome.
I like the way the bunnies move as well.
Me too, yeah. And,
they really do, like, hoard. Like, they just kind of float on top of each other and just kind of all roll in a big bunch towards you and stuff. It's great.
Yeah, and, like, I shouldn't compare it because this is a totally different game, and this obviously has much, much bigger art budget than something you and I reviewed earlier this year, but it kind of reminded me of Dogs Donuts or whatever that was called. If I compare those two games, like the dogs and the donuts, to the bunnies and the farmers and the archers and stuff in this game, like, it's kind of the same theory of animation where it's just a sprite, like, being ricocheted around the screen and not a lot of, like, animation to the sprite itself. But in this game, it looks really pretty and kind of, like, well done, and I don't begrudge it, that lack of animation, if that makes sense. I kind of just had to bring that up because I knew you'd also played the other game I was thinking of. And yeah, it's not really fair. It's not really fair to say, like, this game's better than that one because it's just totally different. But, like, I found this to be kind of a refreshing use of those 2D assets. I don't have a lot bad things to say about this game. I did provide... I'm going to hit send on a message I have going to our Discord here.
Oh.
This is my one complaint about the game. If you listen to my reviews, you know that when I play on Switch or PlayStation, and even a lot of PC games, I really like to chill back on my couch and use, like, a wireless mouse and keyboard or a controller. When I'm leaning back looking at this game, it looks great. I can see everything, even though a lot of things are small, except for when an NPC is talking to me. So, and I also dropped this in a comment under the tweet for the show on the SNL account.
That is tiny text.
Right, that's not good. And, like, I think this game's awesome. I think this game's, like, a really, really cool, like, I think it actually is a really unique game. I can't think of any other games that really have all this mixture going on. And it is a refreshing experience, but I gotta give them a hard time for this shit.
What the hell is that? That is a mistake.
I think what it is, so it's like the top of my head, I remember this game slightly. Like, I think I played this for, like, on PC maybe earlier this year.
It came out a while ago on Steam.
I hope in the original I still can't read it.
I'm thinking, wow. But even still, it's like one of those cases where, like, I feel like a lot of these devs will be like, hey, it's on PC first, and then they go to port it to console where teams are, like, large and across the room, and they just don't think, hey, people are going to be looking at it from a greater distance. Maybe we should increase the freaking font size a little.
Yeah.
Well, something better than 4-point font.
Come on. It's like, come on.
Literally all the settings are just for the music, sound effects, and master volume. It's just volume. That's all you get.
Can't adjust this. So, like, they miss some points off it for me with this. But obviously I'm looking at a poor problem, and the PC game's not like that. But they redeem themselves with the sense of humor that is constant through this game. Second visual aid, also available on Twitter and now in the Discord chat. I just love the shit where they're like, upgrade the archers, all caps, sorry caps. And they just keep going. And, like, I love how in the tutorial it opens up and the guy's like, hey, if you get rid of these bunnies for me, I'll move you past the first checkpoint. And then you come over and your first act is to get rid of the bunnies because this is a tutorial. It's your first time doing it. They're teaching you how to do that. And the farmer's like, aw, man, I didn't know you were really going to do it. I would have asked for more this time. But I was just like, oh, I see what we're getting ourselves into. And, like, it's kind of cheesy.
I like the chat room style, like, you know, emotes as well. Like the classic sideways, you know, sad face like this.
Yeah, I love that. And, like, text. It's a lot like McPixel 3 in this regard, where, like, a lot of the humor in this game is, like, well, for me, it's not, like, why you would play it. It's got a lot of other things going on. But, like, you'll know within a trailer a little bit of gameplay if you're watching a Let's Play, if you like the sense of humor. And I think it's a really nice touch. I think they do it awesome.
And can I piggyback on that comment about the humor? And I really want to point out that although the Switch page is okay, the Steam page is really funny. I want to read off some of the features. Not all of them. I'm not going to read off the ones that are just plain descriptions.
I mean, the important one is the top one that says unique gameplay.
Unique strategy experience. Age of Empires and Warcraft got nothing on us. StarCraft 2 is slightly better.
LOL. That's awesome.
Mesmerizing pixel art that will cure your eyes of myopia.
I'll back that up.
Yeah. Multiplayer modes so you can outsmart your friends and strangers over the internet. Or be outsmarted by them. Maybe you are not that bright. let's see. Awesome voiceover that will make you pee on your pants. Wear double underwear for a better experience.
Oh my god. And I 100% agree. I think the voiceovers are awesome.
Bunnies, music made by God.
Yeah, we've got God on our team. That's right. Who have you got? And
oh
then
my God,
this game's
bunnies. Bunnies, we got 2,0309,894,859 period 483.495.8y9.348.530.834 of them right now. And counting.
I love that I didn't even know about this and I'm coming in hot being like the humor is such a part of this game. Even if you didn't find any of that funny though, like which you should, this game just has a lot to offer. I do find it unique.
Now it's $10. What do you two think?
That's an easy buy it for $10, I think.
Yeah, especially when I started to realize all the content that's in the campaign alone. Like, this is a shitload of gameplay. This is a buy it for me.
You want to know what makes it easier to buy? To love
here. What's that?
It's $2 on sale.
Oh, wow.
Jeez, why do we even review it then?
It is just $1.99 on sale.
So wow. I'm going to upgrade my review. My review is now a buy it, but it's also a fuck it, why not? And then it's like a really awkward stare that where I don't break eye contact with you until you buy it.
That's a good stare. I've seen that one
before. So your eyes are going to be on me for forever. Okay, cool.
Oh, man, so Brooke, you fucked wait. Up.
Yeah.
So the last two, all three, the last three games to get reviewed cost $17 total. Is that what I'm understanding?
Oh,
I think that's, yeah, no, I think that's like
about right. Wow.
What's that?
Horse Tales was 40.
Oh, Horse Tales. That's right.
But yeah. McPixel, Fluffy Horde, and Ghost, and Vampire Survivors all together is like $25.
That's awesome. That's a weekend right there. That's the party.
I'm looking at this this footage too, and like this has got actually a little bit in common with the with Vampire Survivors in terms of that the horde element.
Yeah.
Is 2020 and people are, I mean, Vampire Survivors copied a mobile game that I tried and was terrible, and people are now copying Vampire Survivors. Is 2023 like the year of the whole, like the flocking, right? The flockening, you know, I mean, like tiny, lots and lots of tiny enemies.
Yeah,
and
a horror
lots
movie
bullets,
title right
you know?
There. The flockening.
I like that.
Should be.
I mean, Darius Burst CS Core came out, and man, that's a shooter that it's like a bullet hell, but the bullets are all enemies.
Wow.
So it's very hordy in terms of a shooter. Yeah, it's very flocky.
What the flock?
It's a flocking shooter.
One final note for this game. I really love the sound design and the music. I just think it's got really good, like,
It's music made by God. We covered that.
Yeah.
So good. But I really like, I don't know if Chris would agree with this, but I felt like it was like 8-bit folk metal in a lot of this game. Was that just my imagination? It was groovy.
Well, I'll
sign
off on that. Yeah.
Like, this is like some Mithitin
metal.
Shit.
We like folk metal around here.
I want to hear folk metal now.
Ooh, I'll send you some links.
I was going to say, I think Brooks got you on that one.
Cool.
Gotcha.
Hell yeah.
Cool. All
see
right.
See me after class.
Let's keep the crazy going with Yuppie Psycho, developed by Baroque Decay, published by Neon Doctrine, released November 3rd on Xbox One, Series X and S for $16.49. Join Brian Pasternak on his first working day at Centricore. Uncertain, unprepared, and massively unqualified, will Pasternak have what it takes to shine in Centricore's hierarchy? It all depends on how he performs on his first assignment and whether he survives it. Hockey, what is Yuppie Psycho?
Okay. In this, you play as Brian. You have just moved in from the suburbs, which apparently is poor people place, to the largest, most powerful company seemingly on the entire planet, which matters. And you aren't very smart or anything. You're kind of useless, really. So you don't know how you got the job, because, like, the elites of the elites go to this place and often are still low-level people. That's how impressive you have to be to go here, and you're a fucking nobody. And you didn't go to school for this or anything. You just got a letter in the mail saying, hey, bitch, come on over. You're being hired now. Have fun. You head up to the top floor, and every one of the 10 floors, each one means you're more important in the company. So kind of like companies in real life, I think. You go to the top floor, the 10th floor, because, okay. And there's a contract there for you to sign. And you can choose to sign it, or you can choose to end the game really, really quickly. there's like 10 different endings for this game, and one of them is just being like, no, I'm done, right at the beginning of the game, and I love that.
I love when games do that. when they just have like fantastic. A hidden ending right at the very beginning. What was it? Far Cry 4 that did that? That if you just sat at the table at the beginning, you would get the secret ending?
Yep. Far Cry. Most of the Far Cries actually do something like that. There's one in the ending first, near the ending for 6 as well, where you just say, fuck it, and you go to Miami. and your version of Danny just sits there drinking mimosas and being cool for some reason. So, yeah. But, yeah. So, after you sign the contract to actually play the game, you are told that you have to kill the witch. Okay. So, who's this bitch that you call the witch, and why are you hiring someone to be an assassin? Well, no. It's an actual, real, literal witch. And the company doesn't know where she is in the company, only that she's corrupting the company. So you have to hide that you're a witch hunter from all the other people, because any one of the women in the company could be the witch, which to me just tells me you should just not hire women for a while. That way you can find the witch more easily, get rid of her, and then hire women again, but whatever.
Feminist icon Aki saying, don't hire women.
I know, right? It's terrible. But that in the game, it makes sense to just stop doing that. And they literally, one of the people that is with you at the very beginning that's brand new to the company, another woman. It's like, why are you doing this? You know there's a witch and she jumps from person's body to person's body. Can only do it through women. Why are you doing this? Whatever. The game doesn't make a lot of sense. But this witch has been corrupting the company, making it function fuckily for a while, and mutating some people. Yeah, very fuckily.
Working fuckily. That sounds like a method that you would work. Yes. It's just profane.
yep, pretty much. So some of the people, like the PR group, they're just women who... instead of having a head, they have a gigantic pair of lips and fanged teeth. That's what the PR people are. That's it. For security, they're people who have wires attached to them all over the place and big red CRT monitors for heads that shoot you with something or other if they see you. Things are being twisted here. So the entire game, you're trying to figure out who the witch is, how to kill the witch, where to find the witch, and then actually killing the witch. All while dealing with just the crazy shit that happens on each floor, because you do have to visit all 10 of the floors to do various things in order to continue on.
Is the witch a duck?
No. Sorry.
Anyone getting... Am I like Jacob with his Sound of the Music reference? No one gets that? Which is a duck?
The only witch duck that I know is from, like, the DuckTales or whatever it is.
Monty Python.
Magic of Dispel.
Oh, no. I don't know the Monty Python one.
Yeah. Which is shocking. No, I got it now. Sorry.
How do I not know that? I have that fucking movie. I don't remember that.
If
sorry.
She oh, wait, wait, wait. The I, same God. As a duck.
I'm ashamed.
Oh, now I remember.
I'm glad Jacob isn't here to hear your new shame there.
God. Aki, the game is $16.49. It's a weird price for a weird game. What are your thoughts on it?
I'm for it. If you're an achievement hunter, you're going to have to play through the entire game once without saving at all. And that's going to be hard. Because it has some auto-saves, but, like, here's the auto-saves. 3 minutes in, 8 minutes in, 15 minutes in, 5.5 hours in.
Oh, good.
So, yeah. And that was my of playtime, not actually how long I was in it, because I left it on overnight because I couldn't save. And I wasn't going to lose hours of progress.
Since they need more save points.
Not really.
Did you say the achievement? Well, that's specifically because it's an achievement. I mean,
That was specifically for not saving, doing manual saves, to which there are a limited amount. But yeah, you're going to play through this game like at least three times to get all the achievements, because there's various endings for it, and there's a couple pathways you have to go. So I think it's definitely money per hour. It's definitely worth it. It's really good. And yeah, I thought it was a really fun, nice, cute little game that was really fucked up and fantastic.
It looks so cool. And this music, I just watched the trailer. This music sounds just awesome. I might have to.
It's
buy it, good. Buy it. Friggin' buy it, man. Buy it.
Yeah, I tried to get this to review back when it came out on the Steam, but we didn't get it that time, sadly.
And so this is the executive edition update, which includes new areas, new bosses, and hours of carefully crafted new content to build on this yuppie psycho universe. So there you go. It is the definitive version, and it is worth picking up.
Yeah, I have no idea what exactly was added. I assume probably...
I just said what was added.
There's not like a section that says, here's new content or anything. I don't know if maybe that was like where one whole set of the endings came from or what. Because I
want to say it is. I want to say it is. Like they added... I'm not sure if you remember, there's like a section, like a dark floor or whatever that you're on where there's no light, and there's like an office you go into, and depending on certain stuff you find, there's an extra narrative and ending in that area of the game, and it adds a lot.
Oh, okay.
It's cool. Freaking good.
Yeah, I'm sure I got all the endings, because I'm sure there was an achievement for each fucking one of them. I got like, I have like, there's like six or seven endings in this. There's a lot.
Wait, did you actually get a perfect achievement score for it?
Yeah, I 100% did this.
Damn, that's beast mode right there. Congratulations.
I managed to finish it just a few hours before the podcast ended. Oh, I had to play an entire playthrough, the three collectibles. And one of them was at the very end of a level, or of the game, so I had to play through the game in one sitting right before the podcast started. But since I knew where everything was, I went through it real quick.
I will say one thing I'd like to add to the review in general is just the fact that I will, like, for as weird and bizarre as the freaking game is, for some reason, the characters and all that, they're actually likable. Like,
oh yeah, there was only two characters that I was like, fuck these people. And it was obviously Chad, because he's a fucking dickhead.
Freaking, I'm better than you. Like, fuck you too.
Yeah, that's his entire thing. He's also brand new to the company. The first thing he tells you is that you're a peon not to speak to him because you're trash and stuff. And he screams and yells at you the entire time. He's such a piece of shit. And obviously Hugo, because Hugo's a dickhead. He's just one of your workmates. He's just a douche.
The biggest of douches.
Yeah, but we're not going to explain why.
Jacob was the biggest of douches.
Well... Wow. In real life, he is, yes, but...
Oh, Jacob!
Yeah, we're talking about video games here.
And it's Jess's husband. Remember that?
Yeah.
All right, well, we got to move on. Next game is Geometric Feel the Beats, developed by Yas Studios, published by Cubite Interactive, released November 10th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $4.99, inspired by a space theme and with touches of Tron. We love this movie. The game is fun and competition accompanied by frantic music. Don't like dying over and over again? Then your problems are over. Pernell, tell us about Geometric Feel the Beats.
So, Geometric Feel the Beats is a game where you go from stage to stage with the goal being to shoot a combination and quantity of shapes that are falling from one of four directions to another direction on the screen. So, shapes come in the form, or not so shapes, like colors. And they come in the form of like green, red, orange, and like white color. Typically, it's about four different colors. And the idea is that they'll be falling. The game will say, in order to beat this, you need to complete five red circles. You shoot five red circles, and you complete the first half of the stage. And the next half of the stage will give you another condition. Shoot 10 green squares, and you'll complete the stage. The combination of shapes that fall will range in color and shape. And as you shoot them in order... being that you change the color of your ship to match the color of the actual shape and explode it. If you can continue to do that and not make mistakes, you'll get a combo bonus to increase your score. But if you fail to shoot one with the right color,
you'll lose your combo and lose a couple of points, maybe like 10 or 20 points. Also, if the shapes end up reaching the opposite end of the screen from which they are falling from, you will also lose points. You can go from one of four sides of the screen at any time by using the right thumbstick. You can teleport to the left side, the top, the right side, or the bottom of the screen. And depending on the direction and the trajectory of the shapes that are falling, you might decide to do a different direction than you'd expect because you might get a better shot off that way. After you complete a set of combos or whatever, or rather the required set of combos, you'll finish the stage and you'll move on. And as you progress through the game, they'll introduce more, I'll say, complex enemies of sorts. So you'll find situations where you'll find like giant versions of the shapes where if you shoot them with the wrong color, they'll explode and display shrapnel all over. And if that shrapnel hits other shapes, they will also take, you know, you'll lose the points basically. So they hurt you. And there's also like shielding. Yeah, and they'll like kind of take damage. There's also an occasional one where like the one that I hated the most, honestly, was probably the big brain. It is one where it is a shape surrounded by four other shapes. Sometimes it has a shield and sometimes it doesn't. And the longer you let it sit, it'll start shooting bullets off to the sides. And if those bullets hit a shape, again, chain reaction, thereby damaging your score. The primary reason on which you're doing anything in the game is to get a score, because you can't die and you can't take damage. The only exception being if you shoot a star that falls from the screen, you cause it something called a shockwave, which kind of temporarily stuns you. Every once in a while, too, you'll also come across what's called a mega battle. The mega battle being a giant shape, and that comes in two forms of a battle. The first form is just like any other level. You have to shoot the shapes the game tells you to shoot in order to bring down things, shields or defenses. And then the next phase is to shoot a combination of the shapes that they tell you to, like 15 red, 15 green, and 15 yellow, and to shoot them all in the exact order they want you to, or else it will retain its shields. Something funny about that boss fight, though, is that the description doesn't 100% explain it as you'd expect it to, so you'll find yourself doing a number of things trying to figure out what the hell it's talking about. You're like, what does this mean? What does this mean? So you're like, okay, well, you're trying to take a crack at it. You're doing what you got to do. And if you're lucky, you'll stumble across the solution, which I eventually did. And at the end, I was like, this is ridiculous. This is kind of goofy. And then his work is a little funny. So after that, I went to YouTube and to see if anyone else had been playing this game. And there was an influencer, or I guess somebody who got like a code as well, who ended up playing the game as well. I watched his video. I watched him get to the boss. I watched him play for 7 minutes before he said, "What the hell? I'm confused." And he stopped. He went back and tried it again. And he eventually figured it out by accident. Then I sent the video to a friend of mine and said, "Watch this." And he also said, "What the hell is going on?" And he eventually cut the video off. He said,
"If it was his video."
No, believe it or not, it was not you, Carnage. It was a guy who, he's on the leaderboards with us, though. He's one leaderboard slot below mine, so hang your face, Doogie or Dougie. yeah, it was weird in that sense. Like, it feels odd that it just didn't really get that descriptive as far as how that went. Now, as far as my personal take on the game, it's going to get dicey, and I'm actually curious about Carnage's take since he's in the chat. For me, the game is competent. I'll give it that. Like, it wasn't like I was playing a game and complaining about the controls or whatever. But I did have some problems with it, which in the end kind of hurt it for me. For one, the game is called Geometric Feel the Beats. And for me, that implied I was going to in some way have like music influencing the gameplay itself, but it really doesn't. It's just music that plays in the background, which is fine. Just the title kind of misled me into thinking I was getting a music related like shooter game or something. Yeah, but it was literally just here's some music and here's some shapes, which is double funny because my second complaint is one of the things that happens in stages to kind of screw with you is sometimes the shapes change color, and the purpose of that is to kind of fuck up your shots. So if I'm shooting purple, thing turns green and it hits it, I lose points. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm perfectly fine with a little bit of trickery in my gameplay. However, the problem here is there is literally no indication of when this color change is going to occur. It just kind of does. You can't plan around it. You can't go, okay, every 3 flashes or something. If there's some kind of secret code hidden there that tells you, by all means, let me know. Or even better, put it in the game so everyone knows. But it was kind of hard to strategize around working with those shapes, because you don't know which shapes are going to do it, and when they do, it's totally a surprise. And then the last thing, and this might just be me, I feel like even though it's a selling point of their game that says you can't die, there's something to be said about a game where there's really no risks in your gameplay. There's no... there's nothing that can that you have to really watch out for. You know, so you're just kind of playing and like, oh, I'm shooting things, feeling kind of good about myself. But what am I actually doing? You know, like at one point I was like, do I have to dodge the chase if they come to the ground? Do I get hurt if they hit the ground? Like, you know, like in old games like Defender, where if the bullet hits the floor, your base takes damage, and you eventually die, which means even if you can't knock them out, they still incentivize you to ultimately shoot them. It'd be like saying, okay, you get bonus points if you get the right color with the right bullet, but even still, if you're too slow, you better do something to keep preventing the ground. Like, even if it results in you losing points, yeah, it can hit the ground. But for me, that kind of stung. It hurt me a bit there. And, of course, the boss thing, but that's an easy fix for them if that's their gameplay mantra. Just mention, you know, maybe just add white or 15 any shot or something that just indicates that you have to shoot it with a different color that's not mentioned in the 15-15-15 to kind of let you go. One last random thing to mention, and then hopefully Carnage is mentioning something in the chat there, because I genuinely
am saying it's more of a score leaderboard game or like a chill experience, and he agrees with you.
My man, see, I like Carnage. Get along. But I do need to mention also that when you play, you build up an overall like bulk score, so to speak. So every time you beat a level, they tack your score onto like a score bank. And then you can use that score to buy one of 4 ship upgrades that the game has for you. So you can pretty much get yourself a sense of progression in that manner, too. So that's there, too. I'm not going to go so far to give the game as a deny, because in the end, the game does function, and I do even like some of the music that does play in the game. But I am going to give it a try because of the things that I mentioned in the dialogue of the review proper.
Cool. Sounds good. You just did my job for me. So, all right. One final game to talk about tonight is Lunistus, developed by a Grumpy Fox, published by Deck 13, released November 10th on the Switch for $4.99. Lunistus is a linear 3D platformer that is heavily inspired by the 30... Uh-oh, am I disconnecting? Are you guys there? Uh-oh.
Saving it, he can just tackle on the back end.
Oh, are you there?
Nice.
Yay, we're back.
Yes, we are. Okay, yeah, you cut out while during saying the name of the game.
All right,
we didn't hear the whole beginning of it. So.
All right, I'll re-record, but I got to hit the bathroom real quick. I'll be right back.
Yep. Right, so, Brooke, what's up?
Oh, my God.
Jeez, girls. She's like, let me buy you a drink, sweetie. What you doing?
Shit, I don't need to buy them. I have drinks in my fridge.
Girl, I got drinks in my fridge.
I always have alcohol on me. That's just part of my life.
She's like, just come to my house. I don't even care. Just do that.
I got for now, I was California.
It was actually a lot of fun, though. California was mean to me in the sense that the weather was not very California-esque at all. It kind of was like, hey, bro, it's going to be like in the 50s while you're here. And then the sounds day after right. You leave, it goes back. No, it's not right. It was supposed to be like in the, it's normally like in the 70s or 80s. And then the day after I left, it went up to the 70s.
That's fantastic.
Where'd you go?
Los Angeles and Long Beach.
Yeah, that's pretty chilly.
Long Beach is awesome. And then we went to this one place called Gamecraft, which was actually a lot of fun because one of the listeners to my show lives out there. And when I mentioned in the chat that I was going to be in like Los Angeles, he's like, oh, man, where are you going to be? It'd be cool to meet up. I was like, you know, I never thought to do that. Let's just set something up. So he was going to drive 2 hours to meet me. And I was like, yeah, we're not doing that. we figured out a place that was a little more in the middle of both of us. It was like this cool like bar slash like game spot, you know, the usual trend that's kicking up lately. And we ended up having a lot of fun. We all brought Switches. There's three of us. We all brought Switches. We added each other on the Switch, and then we collectively chose a game that we could play together. So we all bought the same game and then played it. It was Spelunker HD Remix, and it was a lot of fun. I went there for my friend's baby shower because he's having his first son next month, and I ended up having a lot of fun with that. I had only person I knew at the thing was him and his cousin. And when it was all done, at one point, a lady in the family walked up to me and was like, "Hey, man, thank you for making this party a lot of fun." I was like, "I don't know what the fuck I did, but hey, that's great."
Awesome.
Because I told a lot of dopey jokes, and at one point, I participated in both of the baby games. Like, there was one where everybody had to, like, put balloons in their shirts and try to tie their shoes and then birth the baby, quote-unquote. And I gave myself an ab, like, I tried to do it with doing an ab crunch and gave myself a huge, like, cramp. So I was like, "Oh, just like birthing a kid, I got this massive cramp. I'm dying over here." Because like I was pretty much put. I was like, it was a huge show because I was in pain as shit. And then I tried to do the birth thing. I was like, "This is complicated. I can't get this right." So I just started cheating and started pushing the balloon down. And everybody was laughing their asses off. I'm like, "No, I'm seriously." I cheated and I was proud of it.
That's awesome.
But all in all, it was a lot of fun. I ate some great food out there. I had my first tamale.
Ooh. Your first tamale.
Wow.
My first tamale. And let me tell you something.
I've never had a tamale either.
Oh, man.
Someone had to warn me to not eat the corn husk because I was about to eat the
corn. No, you're right. Yes, that is a thing you might think to do. Nope, don't. Don't do that. Aki, go find a tamale and don't eat the corn husk.
Don't eat the corn husk. Work back.
Is a tamale move. Just really corn? What the fuck?
They cook it in the corn husk.
Yeah, they steam it in the corn husk.
But what is it, though?
Think of it as like a corn burrito of sorts, but with it has like different, like sometimes it can have meat, sometimes it can have jackfruit. I've had one of each type. And they come in like spicy and not spicy and uber spicy. And it was kind of funny because the friend catered it, so he had people bring them, but then his girlfriend's mother made a bunch of them, and hers blew the catered ones out of the freaking water. It was ridiculous.
That'll happen. Well,
yeah, there's
that. Difference
between I was like, I can get
homemade. Obviously, the homemade's going to be better.
Oh, agreed. Like when I walked in the house as the delivery was coming in, and then her mom walks in with these others, and she goes, "You know, these my mom made these." I'm like, "So I can have your mom's or the ones that were made by a business? I'm going to stick with the mom's."
No, I'm sorry. I was just going to say that tamales are like one of those things where homemade is almost always better than, you know, restaurant or catered or whatever. But that's not true for all foods. I usually will go from like straight from somebody's barbecue burger to like McDonald's to get like a real burger.
Well, the thing, wait. McDonald's for a real burger?
Yeah, what I'm saying is that like most people who grill burgers don't do it very well.
Oh, that I agree with. That I can agree with. But they'll tell you they do it well, and they're They're like, "The trick is that I don't cook the meat." Like, well, that's your first fuck up.
Oh, you know who made good burgers?
Chris, I think you're
Maze Rallies.
Maze
dude made say, good burgers.
I thought you were gonna say you don't make good restaurant burgers.
Or it's a person. It's our friend.
It's a person.
Christopher Getman.
I'm glad you did that. I seriously thought you were going to say, "You know what makes good burgers? Root beer is my jam." As he just subbed for it.
Purnell can't see Chad, so he's just always ready for it.
Yeah.
I'm always on fire.
I'm going to leave all this in. Purnell's tangent just has to stay in. I don't know, how I'm going to edit it, but whatever.
Real quick, though, I was going to say, Chris, I think you're onto something. I'm thinking about it. I don't think I've ever had a hot dog better than like a shitty sidewalk hot dog. Like making them at home, like it's not quite the same.
Cooks it on the street. You say someone puts the hot dog on the sidewalk and cooks it in the sun?
Yeah, way better. I don't know. I feel like the best dog I've ever had is like covered in crap, not off the sidewalk, but you know.
Yeah.
Sold to me from a guy with a cart on the sidewalk.
Have you ever had a hot dog that was cut in half and like pan fried?
Yeah, I've done that, and they have them at that burger place that I keep, Five Guys. Anyway, it's good. Yeah, yum yum. I want a hot dog.
It take five guys Joe. To make a hot dog. It should only take one.
Hot dogs are great.
I had rallies today, so I'm fine.
Joe's like, "I'm hungry now. Damn it."
All right, one final game to talk about. We have one game to talk about. Jesus Christ, let's end this. One last game to talk about is Lunistus, developed by a Grumpy Fox, published by Deck 13, released November 10th on the Switch for $4.99. Lunistus is a 3D linear platformer that is heavily inspired by the 32-bit era of yesteryear. Follow Hannah the Tanuki on her adventure through her dreams. Explore the different dreamscapes to guide her to her final destination, the moon, and try to uncover the secrets of the Lunistus along the way. Chris, what is this game?
Oh man, well this game, I was pretty stoked to like try it out and stuff, because I was like, oh, 32-bit style graphics, you know, that's kind of like the new thing, and usually folks who do that do a pretty sincerely good job with it. But this one was like, holy geez, I'm just gonna throw out my PlayStation now. This is like way better than a lot of the platformers I played on PlayStation.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of buzz about this game.
Yeah, so it is true, you play as a Tanuki named Hana, and you run around and in a semi-linear, like it branches, let's say, path. So it's not like as constricted as like a Crash Bandicoot, but it's not like a big collect-a-thon, like open world thing at all. You can go backwards, but there's no reason to. You basically go through this course and, you know, defeat enemies if there are some, overcome some pretty tricky platforming challenges, and pick up paper origami birds. That's the coin of this game, the banana, the what have you. And basically, you just get to the end of the stage, and then it rates you on the time that it took, the amount of times you fell off of the world, and the amount of bananas that you picked up, or origami swans, rather. It's very simple. There's no story. There's no forced tutorial. There's an optional tutorial that you can access from the menu. The game does not care to burden you with such things. It just wants you to be playing these levels. Like I said, there is seven, like, I guess you could say worlds with two levels each. I don't know if maybe there are more levels later in the game. I didn't get all the way through this one, but that's okay. The thing about this game, it controls perfectly. Like, I mean, no one else has an excuse anymore for making floaty games on the Switch. This one person dev team did it 100% right, 1,000% right. Like, this is
amazing.
This better be like forced, like, you know, a forced playthrough for anybody that wants to develop like a retro style game, and, you know, a retro style 3D game in this day and age. Because, yeah, this really impressed me with how smooth it controls. And that's good, because the jump puzzles can be pretty challenging. You get your jump, your double jump, and your spin that lets you float just ever so slightly. It all feels good to do. It never feels super unfair when you like miss one and fall off the earth. You have infinite lives anyway. Like I said, it knocks down your letter score at the end of the stage. So it really only matters if you're going for 100%, which the game does not force you to do. I don't have like a frame rate count or anything dumb like that, but I can assure you the frame rate never dropped a single drop in this game. It is, again, a silky smooth experience, even though it's got that jagged, you know, that lovely Mega Man Legend style, you know, just jagged pixels with the like just enough texture where you're like, okay, I can tell what this is at least. But you
it's
know, without
that, it's got that flicker for sure. It's definitely got the got
yeah,
that,
that era. It's got that good flicker. So it is nostalgic, but it is also modern, but also it doesn't have too much stuff in it. It does not force you to spend too much time in it, which, you know, actually makes you want to spend more time in it. The colors are amazing. The character models, gorgeous. There's not a lot in the way of like actual combat. Largely, it's just enemies that are in the way of you just running straight in a straight line throughout the stage. You know, like you got to stop and spin them out of the world. They will hardly put up a fight, but it's really more about the like, you know, jumping and collecting than, you know, straight up fights and stuff. So, you know, I can't really speak to that too much. This game does give you tons of options, including a UI size option between big and small. So there you go.
That's
again,
what they need.
No one else has put this in your game. It's like it has an always run toggle, because you actually can, like, for certain jumps you do need to like slow down, and you do so by holding down a shoulder button, but you can also have it where you hold down a button to run, which will feel a little bit more old school. You can turn off the player shadow if you're a psychopath. so then you can try and like make those jumps without it, whatever.
If you're a
yeah, I was extremely impressed with this game when I found out how much it actually costs. I was like, no way. I thought this was like one of those $20 things that's going to be like a, you know, a trendy game going forward, you know? I did not realize this was a bottom of the barrel price point.
It is. It's like this and Vampire Survivors are just blowing me away with what people are doing for $5 price points. Like, I miss when games would regularly come out at $4.99 and it wouldn't be like, oh, that's a cheap achievement game.
Yeah. Yes.
And I could tell you, like, I've been looking forward to hearing his review for this game because I've been eyeballing it quite a bit. And it's one of those games where, like, I wanted to have a good number of levels, but even if it had like 10, I can't really complain. Yeah. I'm just going for $5.
It's not a huge amount of levels, but I will say they are challenging and you will want to replay them. The game definitely makes you desire those trophies.
You know what's especially sad in a way, though? That this game is coming out while I just got Sonic Frontiers in the mail last week, and I'm afraid to even open after some of the stuff I've seen about it.
I can't speak to modern Sonic games. I got lost in the shuffle, like, after Sonic and Knuckles. I was just like, I'm just now getting around to Sonic CD, so, like, you know, and Sonic Mania. I actually did play that. I had a friend that worked on it, and that's a beautiful, beautiful game for somebody like me who's only played the first four.
Wait, Sonic Mania is slick.
Yeah, it's real good. Anyway.
Well, Lunas, this is $5. What are your thoughts?
Yes, buy this. Absolutely buy this. This is a, you know, my other two buy it's this episode had some caveats, some, like, thing, but people need to buy this game both to support it and to acknowledge that it is a masterclass in how to do modern retro in a way that is, like, engaging and not too, like, important. It's just really good fun in the spirit of the, like, mid to late 90s. And I absolutely recommend this one to anybody who wants to spend $5 on something that's really good.
Here's one general question I have about it, because I feel like this would have been the thing that would have fixed some of the Sonic stuff they just won't do for some reason. Does the camera kind of panned up and out from the main character? It's not like right behind the character's back.
You have control over the camera. It moves really fast and it kind of stays where you put it until you're like turning a corner. Then it kind of slowly angles around the character so that you can see what you're doing. But sometimes you will have to, like, turn the camera yourself if you're, like, you know, you're making a turn, but you're now running in a straight line. The camera might stick to a little bit of an angle, but, like, the camera moves so, like, smoothly when you move it that it's just, like, I had no problems, like, with the camera at all.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, yeah, when you zoom in, it just kind of swoops in a little bit behind the character's back, but for the most part, it kind of stays, you know, kind of up and at an angle. It's a satisfying camera angle. I'm playing the first level again now.
People, these games always have bullets to, like, you know, call out features and things like that. We've read through several of them this episode, but this one has a bullet I've never seen before.
What's that?
And they just say, it says simple, affordable fun. And I've never seen that in a game, like, advertising its price, but not advertising it's like a bargain bin price, but like, that is just the attitude, I think, when you're releasing a game is, what is the most we can charge for this game that is reasonable, that won't offend anyone? And this person just went for, like, you know, it's a good time buying the game just as much as it is playing it. It's just an interesting perspective. I hope this is something that other indies kind of get a hold of.
I hope that pays this dev back in dividends, because, like, that's such a great attitude, and the product that this person put out is way beyond what I thought it was going to be, and I was already thinking it was going to be pretty fun, just being, you know, a 32-bit throwback, which, like I said, those are kind of popular now, so people are kind of stepping it up with those, but...
Kind of makes me wish that affordable statement was our tagline for the show instead of unique, because that would imply that more people were doing exactly that, making these affordable, fun games.
Affordable.
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, it's just unique is such a shorthand for, like, so many other words that you could use instead. Unique is a fine word to use when it actually applies. But, you know how it is.
Oh, for sure, Bindley.
So your official verdict on this one?
It's a buy it. In fact, between the last time I said buy it and the time just now, I just passed the level again, and I got a 226 on that.
Is that an
one
S
reset?
Rank?
So that's an A, and I got 108 of the cranes, which is a B.
Well, try to beat your fastest times and highest completion to get an S rank on every stage. And if you're looking for some additional variety, play the whole game as a different character with their own skills and gameplay.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know there was a different character. That's awesome.
I just read that off the store page. That is it for this episode. We made it through.
Sweet.
Chris, what's your verdict?
Strong point.
Chris, Lunistus, what's your verdict?
I said buy it. I said buy it twice. I'll say buy it three times. Some more.
Grant didn't hear you, so say it again.
I'm sorry, what? Wait, what? Grant, didn't hear what?
Grant didn't hear you.
Oh, what? I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
What?
Well, he did this time.
Grant, Lunistus, buy it. What's your verdict?
I don't even know anymore.
I gotta catch the rheumatiz. What did you say?
All right, music this episode. Chris, are you still on? Are we still doing 1-ups? 20 1-ups for 20 years?
Yeah, let's do it. 20 years for 20.
Grant,
20 episodes.
What 1-ups?
What's my verdict on 1-ups? What was my verdict on 1-ups?
Yeah, what's your verdict?
Oh fuck, I don't know.
Fuck, marry, kill.
Take it.
Oh, wow.
Mustin, I'm gonna fuck. Tim, I'm gonna marry. No.
This is amazing. Have you already done what is it? Where is it? Command and Conquer? Try to do PC Lowlander?
Cool. We'll do it.
Do that.
Sounds good. All right. We're gonna play some 1-ups. Does anyone have any? Well, no, I should probably say thanks to everyone for being here, huh? I
forgot. Yeah, thank you, Joe.
We appreciate it, but too late now. You should have said it at the beginning of the episode. Disappointed.
Who says this isn't the beginning of the episode? What's up, everybody? This is the SNL podcast.
Nice.
Incredible.
That was good. I'm going to land that one. Oh, my God.